allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for joining us today as we spring forward. I'm sure everyone's getting adjusted to our new time. But again, thank you and thank those that are listening to us online. I'd like to take this time to introduce my dais. At my left, Mr. Carl Persis, representing District 4. Next to Mr. Persis, I have Mr. Ruben Colon, representing District 5. On behalf of our board attorney, Mr. Doran, I have Mr. Wolf, Attorney Wolf, that will be joining us today. To my far right, I have Mrs. Erin Lieberman, our agency clerk. Next to Ms. Lieberman, I have Ms. Jamie Haynes, representing District 1, Mrs. Cuthbert, representing District 3, and our vice chairman for this year. Next to Mrs. Cuthbert, I have our superintendent, Mr. Scott Fritz, and I'm Ida Wright, chairman from representing District 2. At this time, we normally have each of our board members will speak on the district vision statement, and I will open it up, starting with Mr. Persis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, as you all know, last week was National School Breakfast Week. It's always a week celebrating something in schools, and at least two or three things usually. But anyway, I had the pleasure of serving breakfast at Tomoka Elementary School, and that was a lot of fun, and always great being around the students. And that also coincided with Dr. Seuss's birthday and read aloud week and whatever, so I just stayed there and read to the three or four classes, which is always a lot of fun as well. Just so many great things when you visit our schools. I was also on the caravan for the Ormond Beach Chambers Teacher of the Quarter last Tuesday or Wednesday. We visited nine schools and surprised nine teachers as they were recognized for being the Teacher of the Quarter for their respective schools. And again, all the joy that you see out there in all the Volusia County schools, classrooms, the amazing teachers and para professionals, principals, assistant principals. It's just it's a real pleasure to be part of this Volusia County School District.
Thank you, Mr. Persis. Mr. Colon.
And so there are a lot of great things happening. However, one of the things that's on everybody's mind is the coronavirus. And with that being said, I want to thank all of our school staff. This has been a very, very quick journey for everybody in ensuring that kids are washing their hands, ensuring that there's soap in the bathroom, ensuring that everything. And so I want to thank all of our staff and our cleaning folks and everyone who's looking after our surfaces and our children as we navigate what is yet to come. So that's all I got for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Haynes.
Well, last week, along with, as Mr. Persis said, there being, you know, the time to read, I read at quite a few schools and a lot of classrooms, and that's always a highlight of my day. And also served breakfast. I still think it's a little unfair, though, that I have to put all of this hair into a net, and you guys, it's a lot easier.
Do you have any photos of that?
Yeah. Yeah. Last year they got some great ones. I was like, this year I'm dodging those. But one of the highlights also last week was I got to attend the Crystal Apple Awards for the teachers here on the west side of the county. And it was just, there was excitement in the room. And we got to honor some wonderful teachers that are doing great things that had been nominated at each of their schools. And then we had four overall winners, each one unique, and they, you know, got to take home the special crystal apple, which I think they'll remember. And what was really nice is they got to meet Dr. Fritz, because that's the big thing. Everybody wants a chance to meet Dr. Fritz and shake his hand. And so they said to me, Ms. Haynes, we want you to stand up there. And I said, I think Dr. Fritz needs to be up there. And they're like, that's a great idea. I said, yes, put him up there. And so they got to, teachers got to meet him in person. But it was so nice to go to a luncheon over at the center at Deltona and honor all of those teachers last week.
So nice. It was fun. Thank you. Ms. Cuthbert?
Good afternoon, everyone. I had the pleasure, along with Ms. Haynes, Dr. Fritz, and Mrs. Wright, we attended the FFEA, Florida Future Educators of America Conference at DeLand High School Saturday morning. As usual, it was awesome. huge competition between the elementary schools, and I just want to say I have the top two elementaries in the district, Spruce Creek Elementary, and as well as Indian River Elementary. Congratulations to those two schools. And also, I'm on the board of Take Stock in Children, sponsored by Futures Foundation. And as we accept new eighth graders into that program, and our seniors will be graduating from that program very soon, I also toured on a field trip with Tomorrow's Leaders, again, also juniors with Florida Futures Foundation. They, too, will be graduating in April to their program. And also what's wonderful is that our seniors, all seniors across our 10 high schools, across our district, are now biting their fingers, awaiting scholarship appointments for colleges as well as their communities. So good luck to all of our graduating seniors and their recruitment of much-needed scholarship money. Thank you.
Thank you. Ditto my colleagues, pretty much, rather than restating, we all had a busy week. The one thing I do want to acknowledge on behalf of Dr. Fritz and Mr. West, we have extended all of our students that are in our education program that if they continue the education path, that we have already extended them a letter to come back home and teach. So on behalf of our team, I just want everybody to give them applause for that. Yes. That is one of our initiatives to make sure we have some homegrown talent, and the best way to do that is to tell them now in high school that if you continue education in the field of education and would like to return home and teach, you have a guaranteed position. Moving on to items for approval on this agenda, items 1.03, 2.02, 4.01, 6.02, 7.01, 19.01, and 20.01. We will have several times for public participation, 1 and 5 p.m. for items of general interest pertaining to the public, education of Volusia County. Time will be provided for public comments on any action item before the board votes on that item, and time will be provided at the end of the meeting for public comments for items of general interest pertaining to public education in Volusia County. At this time, is there entertain a motion for the approval of our minutes, items 1.03 from February 11th, 2020 regular session, and the February 25th, 2020 regular session.
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second.
I have a correction to the minutes.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
It's the minutes of February 11th, our 5:30 meeting, 1.02. It's what Mr. Persis said. I don't think he'd be talking about Spruce Creek High School. He did mention Atlantic High School being on the front page of the paper because they put on the play Beauty and the Beast. Okay. But in here it says Spruce Creek High School and it's Mamma Mia.
Okay.
So I just want the right school to be
recognized. Duly noted. Thank you. Any other comments?
Good catch, Ms. Cuthbert.
Any other comments? Hearing none. All in favor by the sign of yay.
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 Those that oppose, nay. Ayes have it, and the motions carry. Moving down to item 2.01, agenda. Superintendent Fritz, do we have any agenda changes?
Yeah, I'd like to actually move our administrative appointments up, if permissible. We do have some principals in the audience tonight that have night events, and they'd like to be able to get back to them.
Okay. Colleagues, are there any objection?
No.
Hearing none, okay, we'll move that up. So can I entertain a motion to accept the approval of the agenda with the necessary changes?
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the agenda with the necessary changes.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those that oppose, nay. Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Moving down to recognitions 3.01. Superintendent Fritz.
Okay. I'm going to ask Ms. Nancy Waite, facilitator of volunteer partnership programs, and Ms. Judith Watson, principal for R.J. Longstreet, and Mr. Thomas Bond, principal of Heritage Middle School, to come forward. And I think actually Judy is out today, right?
Yes.
And you're the assistant principal?
Hi.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
You're Kim, correct?
Yes.
Kim, welcome to the table.
Good afternoon, Chairman Wright, school board members, and Superintendent Fritz. I'm Nancy Waite, your facilitator for the Volunteer and Partnership Programs. And today we're here to recognize the Volusia's Family and Community Involvement Award winners at the elementary and secondary level. The purpose of the Family and Community Involvement Award is to promote and recognize innovative school practices that increase family and community involvement. Entries are judged at the elementary and secondary levels, which are then submitted to the state, and 10 regional winners are selected. A district selection committee reviewed Volusia's nominations, and R.J. Longstreet Elementary is the district winner for their Social and Emotional Learning Family Night. And Assistant Principal Kim Skatia and the school counselor, Sarah Marcus, are here to talk about their program.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman, school board members, and Dr. Fritz. I sincerely thank you on behalf of Ms. Watson. Sincerely thank you for this recognition of our Parent Involvement Night centered on social emotional learning and the impacts it has on our students and families. It is my distinct pleasure to introduce Sarah Marcus, who is our school counselor, and she will be sharing with you some of the details of our evening.
Sure. Thank you very much for recognizing R.J. Longstreet's Social Emotional Learning Night for the Family and Community Involvement Award. Our school leadership team developed the idea for SEL Night based on the recent emphasis placed on supporting students' emotional needs by our state and district. As we all know, social emotional learning begins at home, and we wanted to open the SEL dialogue with our parents and families in addition to our students. We invited community resources to meet and share information with families during the complimentary dinner portion of our event, and then our parents traveled to 3 mini workshops to learn about anxiety in children, emotional intelligence, and how to handle daily parenting struggles. The family sessions were interactive and offered an opportunity for parents to collaborate or commiserate on supporting their students' emotional well-being, while our participating students enjoyed yoga, bingo for books, and technology time. The response from parent surveys was overwhelmingly positive, and most requested more time and more events geared toward SEL topics, which we intend to implement in the future. There were many great organizations who took the time to participate in our very first SEL Family Night, including Volusia County Schools' SEL and mental health teams, and R.J. Longstreet teachers and staff. We would like to especially thank our other participants and volunteers from Ponce Inlet Lions, Kula Yoga, The Shores Resort and Spa, Adapt Behavioral Services, Domestic Abuse Council, Open Doors Outreach Network, Early Learning Coalition, Florida Kid Care, Department of Children and Families, Halifax Health Hospice, Healthy Start, Head Start, and VCAN 2020. Thank you very much again for recognizing our hard work and dedication to supporting our Longstreet Cardinals and their families.
Wow. Congratulations.
Go ahead. On behalf of the Volusia County School Board, I'd like to present this certificate for being selected as Volusia County's Elementary Family and Community Involvement Award winner. So that is it for you.
And if you can just hang around for a few minutes, we'd like to take a photo with you.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to 19.01.
One more.
I have the secondary.
Oh,
that's okay.
That's right.
The secondary district winner is Heritage Middle School for their Family Fun Night. Mr. Thomas Vaughn, who is the principal, is here with me to talk about how they involve their entire school community in this fun event while also providing much-needed resources to their students and families.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, board members, and Superintendent Fritz. It is such a great honor to be here today on behalf of Heritage Middle School to accept this distinguished honor. I have here Ms. Sonia Pina. She's our family center liaison. Also in the crowd, Mrs. Stacy Hahn, literacy teacher and SAC chairperson, and Mrs. Jamie Atkinson, one of our academic coaches. Family Fun Night has been a tradition at Heritage for some time, and it's really evolved into this monumental event that truly spotlights a school joining hands with this community. Parent engagement is a crucial part of our school improvement plan. The primary goal is to provide a timeline of activities, events, and services that will strengthen the family and school connection at Heritage while increasing our parents' interaction with curriculum. And that Family Fun Night is something that really ties all of this together. I'd like to mention a few of the community programs that were on our campus that evening during our most recent event. The Volusia Department of Elections was there providing opportunity for participants to register for voting. Florida Kid Care was there, giving individuals that opportunity to apply for affordable health insurance. Daytona State College, providing individuals that opportunity to register for free GED and ESOL classes. Even the fire department's pink truck was there, providing literature and education about breast cancer awareness, coupled with the Sisters for Life, that provided connections to emotional support groups for breast cancer survivors and their families. The Family Health Source, which gave opportunities for our low-income families to enroll in medical, dental, and pharmaceutical services, truly deep discount services. The Volusia County Sheriff's Office, providing free fingerprinting services, and a very special appearance by Air One. It's really cool to see it land in the backyard, along with our canine unit. Advent Health, promoting student involvement in their garden club, Pay It Forward, giving free groceries to families in need. And Adrian Hernandez, former Major League Baseball player of the New York Yankees, providing encouraging words to our students while surprising them and their families with free passes to his Kinko's Sports Academy in Winter Park for a day of fun. We had our clubs and programs like dance, band, chorus, agriculture, science Olympiad, and many other clubs. Over 60 different volunteers, faculty, staff, students to make this happen. With over 22 activities and games in which students and families participated, the Family Fun Night promoted and will continue to promote student success by strengthening the student-teacher relationship and increasing the respect and rapport among faculty, students, families, and community members. We thank you for this wonderful recognition.
Okay. Nice.
I just want to add that Sonia has become an expert in putting on this event and is going around and training other schools to help them also put on this event. So on behalf of the school board, I'd like to present this certificate to you for being the secondary winner of the Family and Community Involvement Award.
So. You're welcome. Don't go too far, please. Don't go too far, okay? Because we want to take a photo. Okay. Give us about Yes. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Moving to item 19.01, administrative appointments, human resources update, Superintendent Fritz.
I'd like to ask Dr. Joe Castelli to come forward. As Dr. Castelli comes forward, it's my recommendation that he be appointed to the principal position at Mainland High School. Dr. Castelli is currently the principal at Armwood High School in Hillsborough County. Armwood is one of three Title I high schools in Hillsborough County. Dr. Castelli has not only improved student performance, but he's done so by maintaining a large percentage of his staff over the years. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my recommendation that Dr. Castelli be our principal for Mainland.
All righty.
Thank you, Dr. Fritz. Thank you, board members. I am so excited to be here. Buck pride never dies. I'm already.
Yeah. Who you been sitting next to?
I want to thank my lovely wife, Bree, for being here with me today. We're excited about our new adventure. Can't wait to get over here and start a brand new chapter. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You got to vote on you first, buddy.
Yeah. Move approval.
Any comments, colleagues? No? Okay. You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Colon. The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion?
Any other Mainland grads in the audience?
Wow. All of you stand up.
That was bad.
Mainland grads. Yeah. Mainland teachers.
So truly, book pride never dies.
And
no pressure.
My husband was also a graduate of Mainland two or three facilities ago. But anyway, so you're surrounded by love.
I feel very blessed. Thank you so much.
So it's been properly moved in a second. Any other discussion? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I certainly wanted to take this time to welcome you, but in doing so, I wanted to express my appreciation to the boards, I'm sure, and Dr. Fritz. Appreciation to the gentleman sitting next to you back there. If we could have him stand up. And thank you, Tim Huth, for stepping in. Yeah, I'm going to stand up.
Mr. Persis kind of jumped the gun because we were going to bring you up here, but that's okay, Mr. Persis. We love you anyways.
I'm sorry. I just thought I saw you sitting there smiling, and the only person with a bigger smile was Tim Huth. He's looking at him. He's laughing now. He's not just smiling. He's just bouncing up and down. But sincerely, Tim, thank you.
So are you ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Those that oppose, ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Welcome.
Yay. Thank you.
Mr. Huth, can you come forward, please?
Seems like who?
Yep. Mr. Huth.
That's you, buddy.
Well, Ms. Corey, you're pretty much right, because I know you thought you were retiring, but we do have another assignment for you.
Oh, my God.
But no, we just want to take this time sincerely just to say thank you. Thank you for stepping in and taking over school that you love, that you ran for about 10 years. And Mr. Huth was actually my dean when I was in high school. So he has
very young at the time.
You were very young. We both were very young. So he has a long history with Mainland High School, but from the bottom of my heart, thank you, because it is a school that I dearly love.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I appreciate the opportunity that I had to come back, and it's been a great opportunity to get back with the students that I love dearly and the staff and see the progress that has been made. It's been a unique year from my perspective. You probably could write a textbook on this from the very first day when it began and the circumstances to then after that Hurricane Dorian and being a shelter for 300-some community members to having some Code Red 2 issues that was well documented to the coronavirus. What's next out there? I'm not quite sure, but I know that it's been a pleasure to be there and like I said, had this opportunity, and I want to thank you for the support that you've given, and I look forward to working with the new principal to transition and make it smooth so that the students that we have that are coming back next year and in the future have every opportunity like the ones that are there right now, and I look forward to it. So thanks again for allowing me to have that. And my wife appreciates this day as well. So that'll be good.
But thank you. Any comments, colleagues?
I also want to thank you, Madam Chair. You're going to continue being a board member of Futures Foundation?
Oh, on the Futures? Yes, I'll be on there, amongst other things, yes.
Okay, well, good. And I also want to say that we're fellow Bearcats. We both kind of graduated around the same time from the University of Cincinnati, so we always had a bond from the get-go.
It.
So congratulations, because Bearcats never die either.
There you go.
Little known fact, when Tim was the principal at Mainland the first time, was the year that Mainland High School won the state basketball championship, mm-hmm. and had a player that is rather famous called Vince Carter, who was on that team at the time, and I'll let you finish that story, Tim.
You know, when Vince was there, a lot of people didn't realize. They only think of his athleticism, but he was a great student. Honor roll student in honors classes in AP, and he was the drum major, played a great saxophone, and in fact, when he had his first shoe contract on the bottom sole, he had the G clef, and I'm not sure what the other one's called, but but he had that on there for the soul. But regardless, he had a great career. He's 22 years, longest player consecutive years in the NBA. But in addition to that, he loved Mainland High School. And when the school was being rebuilt, he was kind enough to donate $2.5 million to enhance the gymnasium and make
it right here, remember?
Right in here.
Right
and
in here.
I keep the picture of it.
Do you?
In my folder, and there were board members and the check for $2.5 million that was given to the school system to make that happen. But it wasn't just the athletic facility. It was training rooms and other dance studios and things that benefited all the students at Mainland High School and the community, because as many of you know, Mainland is used for many community events, and it's a beautiful facility.
and one that gets great publicity and usage for our community. But it's been a great ride, and you're right. The first time there, we had so many successes. Two National Blue Ribbon Schools of Excellence, twice named number one school in Florida in both Red Book and other publications, number one out of five, and Business Week magazine is the top technology school in the country. I had the privilege of going to Washington, D.C. for three presidents at the White House and giving some advice. And while I have that, the key was involving a talented staff with a talented student body. And I'll never forget a little story, and I'll get alpha here, but when we went to Washington one time to see the Blue Ribbon School, the president asked if one of our students could introduce them to the other Blue Ribbon committee members. So I took a 10th grade student there that was in our technology classes, and you can just imagine, in front of all these people on the east lawn of the White House, she says those words, and now the president of the United States. Yeah. I mean, it was just fantastic, really a great experience. And so a lot of good memories that I'll cherish a lifetime, including this year. But I am ready to turn the reins and let the work continue, the great work continue with the fine staff that we have. Okay. So thanks, Carl.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to ask Melissa Marple to come up. Board members, I'm recommending Melissa Marple as the principal for Chisholm Elementary School. Ms. Marple has been in our school district since 1996. She started as a teacher at Edgewater and is currently a principal intern at South Daytona Elementary. She has a master's degree from Stetson and a bachelor's degree from UCF. She's shown dedication and determination, and I believe she's an excellent choice for principal at Chisholm Elementary.
Do you mind if I add?
Sure.
I think you've been with Volusia County Schools a lot longer than that.
Since I was 5 years old.
Just want to say she's a proud Barracuda from graduate school.
That Barracuda thing. Okay.
That's right.
I was there.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ms. Marple.
Good afternoon, Chairman Wright, school board members, and Superintendent Dr. Fritz. I have dreamed about this day, and it's finally here. I want to thank you all for believing in me and trusting me with the honor of serving as Chisholm Elementary's next principal. Over the course of my 24 years with Volusia County Schools, my top priority has been providing students with a quality education. Whether I have been the teacher responsible for the delivery of the instruction or working alongside teams of teachers as an academic coach or administrator, my driving force has always been and always will continue to be what is best for students. I promise you that you have made the right decision, and I will meet, if not exceed, your expectations. Today, I brought with me a few people I would like to recognize, because without them, I would not be sitting in this seat today. First, my husband, Mike, who started this journey with me over 25 years ago. I can't thank you enough for all the encouragement you have given me. Even when I may have complained about all the papers I had to write, along with the Saturdays I gave up with you and the kids to attend classes at Stetson for my master's degree, you've always been there no matter what. I love you and couldn't have done this without you. To my children, Garrett and Gabrielle, who have learned more about the teaching side of education than either of you probably ever knew was possible or maybe even cared to know. I hope through watching me achieve my goals that you too will persevere and achieve all your hopes and dreams. And to my parents, Stan and Tony Stone, I know it goes without saying that you too have been my biggest supporters throughout my life. No goal was ever too small for your baby girl. You even made suggestions to my career path. Dad, it was about 15 years ago you suggested I become a principal. And what did I say? No way. Well, look at me now. I know you two are probably the two happiest people here tonight besides me. I can't thank you enough and love you both tremendously. I would also like to thank the principals that have supported me through my administrative journey, Ms. Linda Moore, Mr. Jim Bambrick, Mrs. Brandy Hogue, Mr. Mike Leader, Ms. Lynn Bruner, and Ms. Danielle Wallace. Thank you for your leadership, your advice, and support as I work toward becoming a principal. I would also like to recognize my mentors, Mrs. Carrie Servanak and Mrs. Brandy Hogue, both of which are former administrators of mine. The two of you have a special place in my heart. Carrie, you are the reason I took the leap to become an administrator. When you were my principal intern, you saw something in me that I didn't know I had. Thank you for the guidance you have provided and for always listening when I wanted to run an idea by you. Brandy, you were the first principal I worked under as an assistant principal. You taught me a lot in those 2 years. Thank you for always reminding me that I've got this. To my Dragon family at South Daytona Elementary, almost 3 years ago, I embarked on a journey with you. I can't even count the number of things we have learned together and from one another. Our little dragons rely heavily on our loyalty and investment to them. I look forward to finishing this year out with our entire dragon family, and when the year comes to an end, it will be a somber day to say goodbye to each one of you. Mr. Zabelo, I know Chisholm Elementary has been your home for the past 3 years and appreciate your dedication, support, and leadership you have provided to the students, staff, and families of Chisholm. I look forward to learning from you over the next few months. And to my new school family, I am beyond excited to join Wildcat Nation. Although I will be new to Chisholm, I am no stranger to the area. I am a New Smyrna Beach native. As we begin the 2020-2021 school year, we will work together to create a vision and a plan to reach the goals we set for our students and ourselves. We have supportive families and a community partnership to reach our school's fullest potential. I look forward to meeting each one of you, from our kinder cats to our longest residing Wildcats. I can't wait to begin our journey together, but until then, I wish you the best for the remainder of the school year. Finish strong, Wildcats.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that we appoint Phyllis Markle, Principal Chisholm.
I second.
The motion has been properly moved and seconded. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor by aye.
Aye.
Those that oppose, ayes have it. The motion is carried. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And after we go through our appointments, we want to take some photos, so we don't want anyone to just leave just yet. Superintendent?
Craig, would you come forward? Craig has been the principal at Chisholm for the last 3 years, and he is retiring and has been smiling and smiling and smiling. And as superintendent, I just want to thank you and thank you for your friendship over the last few months being here and being very encouraging and supportive. So, thank you.
Oh, Madam Chairman, board members, Superintendent Fritz, I want to thank you all for the trust that you placed in me for the last 35 years, allowing me to work with the students of Volusia County. It's been an honor and a pleasure. And I can truly tell you that over the course of the 35 years as an educator in Volusia County, I've worked with some of the very best teachers and administrators and support staff that you would find anywhere. And I've learned something from each of them. And there are too many for me to list individually, but I do want to name a few. Stan Whitted was principal of Campbell Middle School and later an area superintendent. I learned so much from him. Ron Pagano was my principal when I was at Holly Hill and later at Atlantic. Tim Huth is here. Vicki Presley is here. They were all like family members to us. And when we talk about Volusia County schools being family, it's true. We treat each other like brothers and sisters. And for me, it's more than just figurative, it's literal. As many of you know, my son Mike is an assistant principal at Holly Hill School. My daughter-in-law, Erin, is a teacher at Heritage. My son Chris is a coach and subs every day at Spruce Creek High School, and it's his goal to become a teacher in Volusia County Schools. And teaching is the most noble of all professions. There's someone that's not a teacher that I do want to mention, and that's my wife, Derayla, of 40 years, nearly 40 years. We met as students at Holly Hill Junior High, and you know, our heart is in Volusia County Schools. And I just want to say to, I know you all know it, and I know you know what I'm going to say, but I want anyone that's listening to know that under the leadership of Superintendent Fritz, with the teachers and administrators that we have in Volusia County, we will earn that A, the Volusia County way. And I look forward to working with Mrs. Marple. She's an excellent choice. And she's going to be well welcomed at Chisholm Elementary. I just want to conclude by thanking you all again for the trust you placed in me.
Oh, so nice. Mr. Zablo. Mr. Zabel, I think we had a couple comments. Go ahead.
You can stay right there. You're entitled. You don't have to come back. I just want to say hopefully I'm speaking from the district, like from Mrs. Morrissey's department, And as well, it's been a pleasure working with you these last couple of years as we rebuilt Chisholm Elementary with the half-cent sales tax. You were very cooperative. You were bent over backwards for the project manager. You tolerated my presence on campus a great deal. It's been a pleasure working with you. So thank you, and we wish you well in retirement. Just relax and take it easy. Yeah, and when the buses run in August, be somewhere else because I'll tell you. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say to you, Craig, I can remember the days when my wife was at Holly Hill with you, and the principal then was the late, great Sal Campanella. And I remember my wife coming home, and she was, I think that was her first year as a middle school teacher maybe, or administrative assistant or something, whatever we called them back then. But she would come home, and she'd come home, and she would always have a story, because there was always a story at Holly Hill Junior High or at Holly Hill Middle School. But she would laugh, and she would love it, and she would say, I can't wait to get to that school. And Craig and I, we're going to be running around like crazy, but we'll just love it. And so she's in Washington, D.C., but I told her that you would probably be here tonight. She wanted to make sure I expressed her thanks to you for, as she said, like saving her and having her back, and we know what that means. But she said, you're just a great guy. You obviously have a wonderful family, and I'm just so proud of you and so happy for you, too.
And I, too, Mr. Zabel, you are rare. You really do have a heart of gold. You're genuine. And you truly, truly love children. And I know you're going to enjoy your grandbaby. So have fun. Enjoy retirement. But we probably will call on you one day, too. So don't get too far away. But thank you so much for all that you've done. Okay. Superintendent Chris, your next recommendation?
Yes. I'd like to ask Dr. Melissa Harbridge to come forward. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you what a gem we found in our school district. As Dr. Halpert comes here. She would be my recommendation for Longstreet, but let me tell you about her. She is a retired area superintendent and turnaround principal from Texas that was serving as a guidance counselor in Manatee Cove Elementary. When I spoke to her superintendent, this is what he said. She has the Midas touch. Everything she touches improves immensely. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's my recommendation that Dr. Halbridge be the principal for Longstreet Elementary School.
Okay.
Chairman Wright, board members, and Superintendent Prince, thank you for this opportunity. I am very excited. I am thrilled. I would like to thank the staff at Manatee Cove because they have embraced me for the brief moments that I have been there and really opened their arms and supported me. I would also like to talk to those that are here from Longstreet. I have heard great things. I am so excited about this opportunity. I've heard that the students are awesome, the staff is supportive, and I look forward to this next journey. Thank you.
Thank you. You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I have a comment.
Sure.
I just wanted to say welcome. My first assistant principal position was at Longstreet. My nieces, nephews, everyone went through Longstreet. We were all Cardinals. It's a fantastic school. It's one of those secret schools. A lot of people don't even know that it's there, located on the beach side. You're just going to love it there. You obviously heard this evening what a great counselor you have and assistant principal, as well as the involvement with the businesses. And I give a lot of credit to that, to the current team that's there. They've really reached out to that community. If you're lucky, you'll get to enjoy the Daytona Beach Shores Spa and resort. Make sure you keep that business partner. That's a key business partner. But seriously, welcome to Longstreet.
Now, I have to admit, on Sunday afternoon, I did a little drive-by, and I got real excited. So I've already been there. So it's great. I love it.
It's cool.
Good. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Those that oppose, ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Congratulations and welcome.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to ask Ms. Rose Rowland to come forward. Rose is no stranger to any of us. She's currently an area superintendent, but what she's being appointed tonight for is the Assistant Superintendent for Student Services. Ms. Rowland has been in our district since 1988. She started as a teacher in Mainland High School. She was a principal at Silver Sands, and she currently is the area superintendent. And she's begun the work on the platform to ensure social-emotional health for our students as well as equitable student discipline. This is something, as a superintendent, we started the very first week on the job when I was here, and Rose jumped to that cause. She's, everywhere you go, children run up to her. She knows every little kid almost in this district. It's unbelievable to me. I can't go anywhere without some child coming up to her. And so for me, she's the perfect person to take on this new effort in student services. So she is my recommendation.
Good afternoon, Chairwoman Wright, school board members, and Superintendent Fritz. I won't begin with presenting my entire journey through the Volusia County school system, but I would like to share a little of that journey with you. I began my career at Mainland High School as a dropout prevention teacher. The students that I served were students that had a desire to receive a high school diploma, but had no one to push them or encourage them to do so. They simply did it because they recognized the importance of possessing a high school diploma, which would make them productive and successful citizens in our society. My first class consisted of 18 students. 16 of those students were young men. Those youngsters became my best friends. I was tough, but they knew that I cared for each and every one of them. I am proud to say that each of those young people went on to earn their high school diploma. I say that to say this. I now find myself embarking upon that same venture with the opportunity to serve as the area assistant superintendent for student services. Student services is each of our responsibility. The students are the only reason that each of us sit here today. Without students, we would not be sitting here. Serving students is our number one priority. I just want to say thank you for allowing me this opportunity to go back to my beginnings to serve the students of Volusia County. Students are all of our responsibility. Thanks again for this opportunity, and our children are depending on us.
Okay. Thank you. You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any discussion?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I can't think of a better person, so congratulations. I'm thrilled for you.
Thank you. Any other discussion?
I just want to say I love your passion. I love it. It's from your heart. You know, you don't fake it. You don't. You tell it like it is. You get right in their face if you need to, and you're the first one to give them a hug when they need it as well. You're a real champion for children, and I think Superintendent made the right choice here.
Thank you. I agree with Carl. Every time I've been anywhere with you, kids love you. And so I thank you tonight for stepping up and taking on this position to make a difference for those students, because we know that we need to keep them in school and we need to educate them so that they can go out and be successful. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. You know we love you.
I love you.
We know we love you. We had a motion first and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Those that oppose, ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Congratulations.
I'd like to ask Ms. Renee Clayton to come forward. As Renee makes her way up here, she'll be my recommendation for the Assistant Superintendent for Elementary position. Ms. Clayton brings years of experience, not only as a principal, but as a district leader. Under her leadership, Osceola County ranks 7th for student acceleration in middle schools within the state. She is currently the director for middle schools and K-8 schools in Osceola County. But Ms. Clayton's heart has always been in the elementary. And I'm confident that she will help our 45 elementary schools move forward and be successful.
Thank you. Dr. Clayton?
board members, Madam Chair, Dr. Fritz, I really am so excited about this. As Dr. Fritz just said, that caught me off guard just a little bit. My heart has always been in elementary. I say all 26 of my years have been in some capacity with elementary. And I always say in these past few years that I've been the director for middle schools and K-8 schools, I say you can take the girl out of elementary, but you can't take the elementary out of the girl. So I would like to say I am absolutely humbled by this opportunity. It's an honor and an absolute privilege. I am 110% committed to this opportunity. I sit here and listen to all of these people in the room and hear the history that is in Volusia County that I am so excited to become a part of. I am coming from the same kind of history, 26 years dedicated in the same school district, from being a teacher all the way up through administration and working at the district level. Kids are my number one priority, and I cannot wait to participate in this process that's happening here before us in Volusia County. I can't say enough about the preparation for this opportunity has come from my current leaders and mentors, and I can't move forward without recognizing the leadership of Dr. Fritz as one of my mentors, my current superintendent, my assistant superintendent, and all of the teachers and principals that I've had the privilege of working with as well. Because I'm one of those kind that rolls up the sleeves and you get down dirty in the middle and walk it with them. So I really am very excited about doing the same here. I would also like to say, most importantly, my family has been with me every step of the way. They're not here today, but that's because they are also public servants. My daughter is a teacher. My oldest daughter is a teacher. She's a first grade teacher. My husband is working at a high school right now as a school resource officer with 24 years of law enforcement. And my youngest daughter is in nursing school. So we're all busy, or else they would be here with me today. But they are 100% committed along the way with me. So thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. You've heard the superintendent's recommendations. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Those that oppose, ayes have it, and the motion is carried. And welcome.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask Ms. Patty Core to come forward. As Patty comes forward, please know that, again, what a wonderful team member she has been with me for the last 4 months. So Patty is my recommendation to be the assistant superintendent for middle schools. Ms. Core is currently an area superintendent. She spent 10 years at Mainland High School. I'm beginning to think we only had nine.
We only have one that matters.
First as a teacher, and then as an assistant principal. She then served as an assistant principal and principal intern at Silver Sands Middle School, followed by the principal at Galaxy Middle School before moving to the district office. Patty Core is a true leader with energy that is truly contagious.
Thank you. Madam Chair, School Board, and Dr. Fritz, thank you so much for this opportunity. I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout-out to the Bulldogs, because I am a DeLand High graduate, and and this district, I've been here my entire educational career. My family moved here when I was very young, and this district has been very good to my family. All of my siblings graduated through DeLand High School. My mother was a retired cook from the cafeteria from Volusia County Schools, and she very much instilled in me the work ethic that my peers and my colleagues see on an everyday basis. Sorry, I lost her a year ago, so she would be here if she could. She's here. At any rate, my career started in high school, but then I moved to middle school as an administrator, and what an amazing opportunity that was for me, because when you get the call and you're moved, you know, the first thought was, I don't want to leave Mainland. I've been there 10 years. But what great opportunity for me to learn how to do the data, master schedule, curriculum, and then leading Galaxy is one of the proudest times of my life. I absolutely love my time there, and we have such amazing hard hardworking people out there. What I'm really excited about with this reorganization is the ability to focus on one level and the amount of work and what we can get done together. Having 12 or 13 schools versus 29, I can really be in the schools with the principal side by side. We do have a number of newer principals. I'm so much looking forward to being able to do that work. And as we know, all grades are important, but the middle school, we have them the shortest amount of time, if we do it correctly. We only have them for 3 years. But for some of those kids, it's their most vulnerable years. It's their most tumultuous time. So I'm really looking forward to bridging that from elementary to high school and supporting the principals so the kids will be ready when they hit Gabe and his team in high school. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
So I have the privilege of, Patty has all of my schools but one, mm-hmm. and I call her my cleaner because there is nothing that Patty cannot do. She has such a way with the parents, such a way with her colleagues, Patty, I can't think of a better person in this position, in this role, and I'm looking forward to working alongside and supporting you.
Thank you.
She also had Edgewater New Smyrna School.
Yes.
So I got to work with her as well. The first time I met you was at Galaxy, yeah. and I had a meeting with you, and you were very upset because we had to drop Avid from the middle school
yes.
level. So maybe you might have some leeway in getting your heart back there.
Yes.
But I also wanted to tell everyone, she also advanced STEM. Mm-hmm. At Galaxy, you empowered those teachers and the students to be one of the best STEM middle schools in the state. So I want to congratulate you in that respect. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, as I said about Rose, this is, again, another just perfect pick. I mean, this is just, I was so happy when Dr. Fritz told me that you were the one for this job, and I said, oh, yes, she is just so much the one for this job. And I said, and one thing that I always count on a lot is when I see principals and I see them at their school sites and I see them smiling, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And when you see a middle school principal smiling, it's even a better
right?
thing. And it's more of a rare thing. And Mark and I have talked about that. I spent my last 8 years as a middle school principal. Yeah. So that just tells me that you love the kids. You know about them, and you know mm-hmm. that they do the crazy things they
yep.
do because that's the age,
yep.
and you don't blame them for it. You're trying to help them, and you're trying to help your staff understand mm-hmm. it, and this kind of normal stuff. And so when he said that you were going to be the middle school assistant superintendent, I just thought, oh. There isn't a better person out there than Patty Corr. So
thank you.
Thank you.
I do love it. We always said in middle school you never have the same day twice. So that's for sure.
That is where you have the most fun, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, well, can't say congratulations just yet. You second? Any more discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by aye.
Aye. I don't think we made a motion on this one yet.
You did not? Oh, okay. Oh. Well, I'm sorry. I entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those that oppose, ayes have it, and the motion is carried.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'd like to bring Dr. Gabe Berrios forward. Gabe is my recommendation for the assistant superintendent for high schools, and here's what I need to tell you about Dr. Berrios. He has been both a middle and a high school principal, and he has served at the district office as the number two for the chief of high schools for the past 4 years. And under his leadership as the principal when he was at Timber Creek, the graduation rate was of 99%. With over 4,000 students. So here's what I'm going to tell you. During his time being in that office, and his chief is in the audience, Dr. Border, the two gentlemen in that division were able to get more A's and B's in high schools in the last 4 years than all 10 years combined. And truly, when you analyze the data, Orange County Public Schools is an A district because of the high schools. So no pressure, but we expect 90% graduation very, very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Berrios is my recommendation for assistant superintendent for high schools.
Thank you. Dr. Berrios. Good afternoon, Chairman Wright. Good afternoon, board members, Superintendent Fritz. It is, I'm very thankful to be here tonight. I was excited about coming here just because I get the opportunity to work for Dr. Fritz again and also to come to Volusia after doing all the research. And I'm even more excited after listening to everybody and how they talk about Volusia. It just seems like a very genuinely tight-knit community, and there just seems to be a lot of excitement here and a lot of real genuine compassion and caring for students, and it makes me excited, even more excited to be here. So, and look for the opportunity to work with the principals. I've already met a lot of the principals, and it really, truly has been a great introduction to Volusia, and I thank you for the opportunity.
That's great.
I also want to thank everybody who came with me, my colleagues and my friends, soon to be former colleagues, Dr. Border, who's also my mentor, and Dr. Paduano, principal at Timber Creek, and Jeff Bettner, assistant principal at Timber Creek. I've known them all for many, many years, and I look forward to this opportunity. Thank you. But I can't forget my daughters. They can't be here today. My daughter actually works for FEMA in Philadelphia, so as you can imagine, she's busy right now. And my younger daughter's a freshman, so she's got a lot of end-of-quarter exams and projects to complete before spring break. So thank you.
Great. You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Just one brief comment. We do have other high schools besides Mainland. I heard. You did let them know that. It's not a one school.
Sure, I did.
It's not a one high school district. Okay. All right. You. Just wanted to get that out on the record, Madam Chair.
We have 10 wonderful high schools.
Correct.
But as you can see, the greatness that Mainland has created is in this room. I'm just saying.
And humble.
Any other discussion? Go right ahead.
As one who taught at New Smyrna High for 26 years, I welcome you. I think it's fabulous. If you want a tour, I'll be glad to take you. I know all the high schools. I know all the principals. Either I worked with them. Well, DeLand High School principal is a former teacher at Mainland. I mean, they're all over the place. But you will find, especially in our high school, middle and elementary, we have a lot of Volusia County students here, just like Melissa Marple. She's a graduate of New Smyrna. A lot of our people stay, and it's wonderful because we always encourage our students to stay and be hired and work in Volusia County Schools. So welcome.
Thank you.
So I have to put in a good word for the west side of the county, where we have several high schools also. Mr. Colon and I share them. The two he has, Deltona High and Pine Ridge, I've actually taught at. So I'd be happy to take you there, or he would. But I have three in my area, which are Taylor Middle High, DeLand High, and University High. And DeLand and University are the two largest at the moment. And so I welcome visiting those with you, and we're happy that you're here. So don't, listen to just only the east side. Have to give some credit to the west side.
That's right. Yes,
bienvenido a Volusia County. Tenemos dos escuelas en Deltona. Tenemos Deltona High, Pine Ridge. I figured I got to get one on you guys here, okay?
Mucho gusto.
And so as the first Latino school board member in Volusia County, I'd like to welcome you as well because diversity has been one of our challenges, and to have a Latino at the helm of our high schools means the world to our community, so thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I have to get back now. Look, there's only one high school on the beach side.
Okay.
Sea Breeze. You can't forget that name. Sea Breeze. The only high school where you can see the waves from the second floor. You can smell the surf and the salt. You can feel the ocean breeze in your face. That's a place where you want to invest your time. Sea Breeze High School.
You see, you're going to have a lot of fun here.
I am.
Okay, any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, motion by aye.
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 Those that oppose, ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Welcome.
Thank you.
Dr. Berrios, come back for just 1 second. I want to share with you, we start our strategic planning tomorrow with our teams, but the reason Dr. Berrios isn't going to be there is there's a conference that he's going to present in, and this is one of those things and initiatives that we're going to be pushing here in Volusia County. Gabe, I know the conference was canceled because of the coronavirus at this time and travel, but would like you to share a little bit about the conference and what your intent to present was.
The conference is the College Board's A Dream Deferred, increasing the success level for particularly African Americans and encouraging HBCUs. And my presentation was going to be on increasing proficiency, narrowing the achievement gap, and not only that, but excelling. Not just, you know, keeping a low bar, but having the same level, leveling the playing field, if you will, for every student, regardless of background, regardless of free reduced lunch status or any other barriers that we don't believe or we shouldn't believe can stop a student from doing whatever they want to do and accomplish.
Good. Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have our last appointment for this evening. I'm going to ask Steve Grube to come forward. As Steve comes to the table, you know that we have an icon that is retiring. That's Sarah Lee Morrissey, who will be retiring after 33 years in the school district. So we'll get to you in a second, Sarah Lee. But I do have to replace that with a director of facilities. And let me tell you about Mr. Grube. He has experience as a facilities planning, design, and construction and in regional development, not only in Orange County Public Schools, but also at the colleges and in the private sector. He's very excited and passionate, and educators are in his family. So he's super excited about being a part of something bigger. So, Mr. Grube?
Thank you. Madam Chairman, board members, Dr. Fritz, thank you so much for having me here. Thank you so much for the confidence and trust that you have in me to lead such a robust multi-million-dollar construction program. It's a tremendous challenge, and I'm so excited to be here. But first, let me say I am super impressed that there are so many administrators and instructors behind me that have been here for over 25 years. You're doing something right. Either that or I-4 has been under construction for so long, just can't get out of here. As Dr. Fritz said, I have over 25 years' experience in the construction, design, and planning of K-12 facilities. It's wonderful to be here. I'll be one of the new guys on the block, but I think I come in with a fresh set of lenses, and I'm excited to be part of such a wonderful organization. I am married to an educator. My wife is an elementary school teacher. She's been teaching for over 25 years. God bless her, first graders. I am much more comfortable with architects and contractors than I would ever be. But my son's a recent graduate of Lake Nona High School in Orlando, and I'll be picking him up at the airport tonight for spring break. So, again, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Any comments? You've heard the superintendent recommendation. Is there a motion?
So moved.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any discussion?
I think we all look forward to working with you, especially now that we have our half-cent sales tax and we are rebuilding schools. I think we've been very fortunate with we've been very fortunate with Mrs. Morrissey to get us off the ground. She campaigned for it. She got it started. She has great vision. And we look forward to you not just filling in her shoes, but outgrowing them as well. So
thank you. I start on the 23rd, and I'll have about 6 weeks of transition time with Sarah Lee. So hopefully I'll find out where Mainland High School is.
Well, now, University is probably the largest high school, but Mainland is definitely the most beautiful high school, in my opinion. You know I'm a little biased. Go ahead, Mr. Colon.
So in those 6 weeks, put on your skates, because Sarah Lee goes fast, I will tell you that. One of the things that really sticks out is the fact that you've procured and worked on projects in Volusia, Osceola, Orange County, Seminole County, Lake County, Suwanee County, Monteverde Academy, Aliqua County, Valencia, Santa Fe, Seminole, College, Florida Tech, U of F, University of Central Florida, Forest Lake Academy, and Flagler College. So you are the man for the job, and we are happy to have you here. So
thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those that oppose? Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Congratulations and welcome.
Thank you.
Ms. Morrissey, would you come to the podium, please?
I wasn't planning on this.
Of course not.
Keep it short.
One of the first people I met, I think you actually were like the second person, so you were the top two people. I met you and Greg at the same time.
Yeah.
But from a superintendent's point of view, I want to thank you for onboarding me, educating me over the last few months, and getting me ready, and I certainly hope you enjoy your well-deserved time.
Thank you very much.
I'm not going to be able to hold it in. Ms. Morrissey, I've been very fortunate to work with you very closely over the last, I guess, 3-4 years, because we are on the oversight committee together, as well as I'm on the selection committee with you to select architects and construction management companies for our new rebuilds. I just want to say it's been an absolute pleasure. You gave me one of the highest professional compliments, because you asked me when I was appointed to the selection committee when I volunteered. You said, "Well, what view do you have for schools?" And I said, "You're asking me?" And she said, "Well, yeah, you're important. You taught in those schools." I was in New Smyrna Beach, the old school, as well as the rebuild school with the house and sales tax the first time around. You listened and you carried it out. We talked about our schools not being cookie cutters anymore, to be actually schools that reflected the neighborhoods and were built to fit not just the acreage but the community. And also, you and I agreed we wanted color, bright oranges and purples and vibrance and bright, Mr. Zabelo. I mean, it's just been fabulous. So I want to say thank you for the professional compliment publicly, mm-hmm. and you will be missed.
Well, Sarah Lee, I tell you what, I can't believe this day is coming for you. I just can't. You're so young. You should hang around another 7 years. But I guess I won't be able to convince you to do that. But I just remember so many good times when you were with Pat Drago, and then you just seamlessly took that role over. You know, she wears at least 3 hats, if not 5. If ever you need some guidance or wisdom, just call Sarah Lee. She's always like, "Well, since you asked me, okay." You know, and I say, "Yep," because I know you're gonna just be honest and you're just gonna say it, and you're so wise, and you share like different thoughts and where this person may be coming from and how this group feels, and you just have that. You just have that knowledge, and you have so many connections. Steve, she has so many connections. I mean, organizations, people. She knows who all the movers and shakers and builders and developers and landowners and real estate agents and engineers and architects and planning directors. She's involved in every association that is in any way, shape, or form connected with development in any way. She's been recognized by her organization as a state winner, I think a couple of times. She continues to receive accolades by a group of people that, as you know, back in the day didn't have a lot of females in it. And she stood heads and tails above the crowd and continued to win people over. I'm convinced that we wouldn't have passed the sales tax the second time around if we hadn't done such a good job went the first time around. And all the cautiousness that we took and the oversight, that was all from Sarah Lee. We have to do this right. We got to make sure we build quality projects that involve the community, structures that we can be proud of and that will stand the test of time, which all of those schools have. So I just give you so much credit, and I just want you to know that I'm going to call you perhaps even more often after you're retired, as because I know you like politics, but you couldn't really say a whole lot before. But she'll be able to say a whole lot after she retires. So anyway, thanks again, and we'll talk some more.
Well, 7 years. And unlike Mr. Persis, you're very detail-oriented. You make sure we have all the facts, but you're always direct. You're polite, but if we ask a question, you will give your honest opinion, and I respect that. I like people that are direct and like people that are honest. You always do it graciously. You always have a smile on your face. And I wish you well, but I'm like Mr. Persis because you know we got two major projects coming out. So if Mr. Group calls you, you make sure you answer that phone because between Osceola and Ortona, and then we have the middle school. And so we want to make sure, and I'm sure Ruben will probably call you about that middle school.
She's going to be there for the opening.
She's going to be there for the grand opening. But enjoy your retirement. You deserve it, and you have been truly a blessing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For a planner to not plan for something like this, and I guess I'm supposed to say something because everybody else has been saying things. I thank you for your words. I appreciate hearing them. Interestingly enough, I was asked by the City of Ormond to come forward next month. To be recognized, and they asked me to put some bio together. And it's hard to do that because most of us are humble and don't think that what we do is so influential. But I was hired. I was a city planner, and I still consider myself an urban planner. And I was one of few who was hired to work specifically for a school district. And my one word, which has been my one word since I began my career as a planner, has been community. And I have used that word for everything that I have worked on. And I do know I'm direct because many people have said something to me about that. I don't know that everyone appreciates it. But when I was hired to come here, here to the school district, I was specifically asked to find a way to get along with the local governments. We were in the middle of a building boom, lots of growth, 2,000 students a year, very similar to what you're used to, Dr. Fritz. And I was hired to do school siting and intergovernmental coordination. And in 1998, I brought forward an interlocal agreement that six local governments signed voluntarily. And it spelled out ways that we would work together as a school district with local governments. And that agreement was used by the state in 2003 as a model when the state mandated through legislation that all of us get along. And that really kind of began my career mentoring other school planners, because shortly after that, school concurrency came into effect, and school districts didn't have planners. They had people who understood construction, but they didn't have people who understood planning. And it is a niche, and it's a hard niche for me to find somebody. But I'm very proud of what's happened in this district. This district has a charter, a county charter. In 2006, the voters approved an amendment to the charter that recognizes the connection between schools and growth. And we're really the only county that still has that ability to implement a connection between what is happening in the development industry and our needs as a school district. I think I am most proud of the last 5 years. I did work hard for the half cent to be extended. I knew if it did not happen, I honestly worried what would happen to this school district, knowing what the state has done to us with funding. And implementing those first schools was very visionary. And I know I went out on a limb because we went through 3 IT directors and 5 instructional services directors during that time. And the schools that we have, I truly believe, reflect 21st century standards that go and speak to the heart of learning, the needs of our children, the safety and security of our students as well as our faculties. And we worked hard to make sure that they were community-oriented and did not reflect a punitive appearance. And so I thought long and hard about my when. And I'm not gone, you're right. But I want to leave my legacy on a high. And I want someone else to take this district forward to where it needs to go. And I feel like Mr. Grube is going to be one of those people. Dr. Fritz is taking us there already. And I will be around to answer your phone. So thank you very much. I have had an extremely rewarding and challenging career here. And I'll be working on some other things.
This time we're going to take about a 10-minute break, and we want to start first taking photos. We will take them out on the stairwell, and we're going to start first with our elementary and our secondary schools for our recognition for family and community. Mr. West, I need Mr. West.
Don't forget,
No, part of 19 was the HR report.
Oh, gotcha.
Mr. West, the HR report. Unless you want.
He was part of 19, so he finished 19 public and then the report.
Go ahead, Mr. West.
Thank you, board members. Dr. Fritz, I appreciate you having me come up today. I've handed out our HR corner just for your informational purposes. I just wanted to give a shout out to our bargaining team for the ASME group. We actually have come to a tentative agreement with ASME, and so we're very excited about it. Yeah. So thank you to ASME and also our district team for working on that. I know that's been a number of months of work that they've been able to do. Now, it is a tentative agreement, which means that they are going to be in the process of ratifying and getting with their members to do that. And since spring break is going to be hitting us here next week, we recognize it might take a little bit of time to get that ratification done. So that will be forthcoming as soon as we can get that all taken care of. So we're very excited about that. Just to let you know, we have, of course, as I've told you all, it's hiring season. So we're really looking at hiring for next year. Even though we're continuing to hire and process folks, as recently today, we had two new additional employees that came in that we've gotten for a couple of our elementary schools that we're very excited about that we're able to get in. But what we're really looking forward to is our hiring for next year. We have a number of hiring fairs that are going on. This weekend, actually, this Saturday, was the Florida Fund for Minority Teachers at the University of South Florida. Myself and another staff member, actually, we're going to attend that on Saturday, but we just found out just before this meeting it's been canceled because of the coronavirus. So I'm a little concerned about some of those activities. However, we are plugging forward with some virtual fairs online that we will be able to attend and participate in. So we're going to push forward, and we're going to do the best we can to make sure that we have our teachers involved. And we're moving forward with our hiring fair on April the 16th at this point. Okay? So any other additional things we'll bring to your attention. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. West. Any questions, colleagues? Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving back up to public participation, item 5.01. Do we have any comments? Our first speaker is Mr. Steve Tonjanis. Tonjanis, thank you. Followed by Heather Wood.
Just a broken leg. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Dr. Fritz, school board members. My name is Steve Tonjanis. I live at 423 West Pennsylvania Avenue in DeLand. And I'm here on behalf of FAITH. We want to come this afternoon and recognize that we made progress this last school year. Since the implementation of restorative practices at some of our schools, high school out of suspensions were reduced by 50%, middle school by 27%. However, up to this time, we've not yet seen the district follow through on promises to implement those practices at all levels. With transitions in leadership, we want to be on track to make sure restorative practices are used in every school to address incidents like the TikTok video at Seabreeze. We want to encourage you to continue to move in the right direction and implement restorative practices, from bus drivers up through administrators, to create an environment where teachers have the tools and support they need to help children stay in school and learn. We're very pleased to see, Ms. Rowland, that you've been hired at a high level to develop a discipline program which will be comprehensive and consistent throughout the district. We've been encouraged to hear from the school board members who have met with us that the program will be based on restorative practices. We ask that goals, performance measures, and monitoring specific to implementation of restorative practices be included in plans and staff performance reviews to ensure the effective implementation of these practices. We've met with or have meetings scheduled with most of you. We look forward to seeing you at the Action Assembly, which at this point is still scheduled for March 30th at 6:30 p.m. at the Peabody in Daytona. We'll certainly keep you posted if we have to change that. And we're hoping that Dr. Fritz, you'll be able to attend. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Ms. Heather Woods, followed by Mrs. Elizabeth Abbott. And I didn't give a disclaimer. You do have 3 minutes, so state your name, please, and your address. Thank you. Come on up, Mrs. Woods.
Hi. I'm Heather Woods, 202 Heronwood Circle, Deltona. Two things I wanted to say. When you guys remember when I was here last time and I talked about my son and the problems that we had at Deltona Middle, not that Deltona Middle isn't wonderful. Right. They are wonderful. But nothing has changed. Nothing has happened. So I just wanted to kind of put that back in your head that, you know, our special needs kids are important too.
Yes.
And we still need some help there. But I also came because I would like to talk to you, Dr. Fritz, about, I'm also a teacher at Discovery Elementary. We met, you came to my classroom, we were testing, they wanted to talk, sorry. But I wanted to talk to you about all the people coming into our classroom from the county. We are so grateful that they are coming out of whatever, because we didn't even know all these people existed, and we are very happy for their support. However, many of the teachers have come to me and said that they don't feel like we're getting any support from these people. They come into the classroom, they walk around, they look at things. They, you know, we don't know what they're thinking. We don't know what they feel we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. We get a little get together with the academic coach, and he's like, well, you know, they said someone was doing this, and it doesn't help us. And a lot of the teachers were thinking, would it be possible that instead of them coming into our classrooms like that, maybe they could actually help in our classrooms, help the severe behavior problems that we have going on and that we're dealing with every single day. That's where we need our help, because we do have some really bad behavior problems that stop our teaching every single day. And we were just hoping that you could kind of maybe look at that and maybe get us some help in that respect. Maybe having somebody at the campus who could help us with these behaviors, help the kids, you know, because we can't stop teaching whenever somebody gets up and hits somebody else or hits a teacher, or, you know, we still need to teach. We can't stop and say, you know, I'm sorry, what's wrong? Why are you this upset that you're going to hit me or throw that, or, you know, because we still have all the other kids that we need. We do need somebody who would be able to do that. And the guidance counselor is so busy running around trying to help put out all the fires in the other classrooms that he can't even do his guidance counseling job. And we're just hoping. Discovery's small, but we're important. And we'd really like you to think about that for us. Thank you.
Ms. Woods, I think the superintendent would like to respond.
Yeah, thank you for coming in. And, yes, we did push out the district office out to schools. We were very clear that they are to be doing two things. So if it's not happening, then I'm going to ask that you reach out to Dr. Balgobin, our deputy superintendent for teaching and learning. The two things that our staff were supposed to be doing, number one, demonstration lessons. So that impacts the core and it impacts those students, and so that they provide exemplary models for teachers and small group work. Those were the two things that we instructed. In fact, we put it in writing and sent it out to principals saying that these are the things that should be occurring. So if it's other than those two things, if something's not happening, then I'd like Dr. Dogman to know that so that we can correct it.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Elizabeth Albert, followed by Mrs. Karen Winrich.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, board members, Superintendent Fritz, and members of the audience. So today, I want to remind you that the last time I was here, I spoke to you about communication. And so today, as I sat through the workshop this morning and listened to the ladies present the foundation of what you're going to use to build your strategic plan, there were some things that resonated with me. I know we like positives, so I'm going to try to focus on the positives, but we have to be aware of the challenges and areas for growth. Notice how I use my words. So, first of all, I really appreciated the fact that we spoke at length about the dedicated educational professionals that work in our Volusia County schools. It is true, as it was stated earlier, that we are in the business of children, and without the children, none of us would be here. So I appreciate the focus on that. Also wanted to acknowledge the nod to the tenacity and the perseverance and the withitness and the ability of our folks to ride the storm. We have a lot of people, as we've heard even through the appointments, who've dedicated their entire lives to Volusia County Schools and educating children, and that's impressive. But what I'm concerned about is how many folks who are currently out there are going to be able to say the same thing. One thing that I noticed when the data was shared, that if you're doing basic elementary math, when you had all the indicators there and they were lined up in the four categories, there were a total of 15 indicators. Six of those indicators were red. So that's more than a third, almost a half of our indicators that we're going to be looking at to build that strategic plan are in the red area, and I know we need to move them to green. So that's something that we need to pay attention to. If we're looking just at green, only two of those indicators were green. And so it was important to acknowledge that our folks do have hope. They have a lot of hope in the five of you and in Dr. Fritz and the new team and what we've done here this afternoon. And hope is connected to loyalty, and we're seeing that our folks are loyal, but my concern is how long will that last? And there is a saying that says, never push a loyal person to the point where they no longer care. And I'm very fearful that we are getting close to that point. Some of the examples that were used in the information that was shared talked about lawlessness. We've had conversations about lawlessness, talked about the lack of accountability at certain levels, talked about student behaviors, talked about communication as we do oftentimes. But what I'm asking for from you tonight is some visibility, some direct communication to the people who are serving the students. If we don't hear from you, then folks are left to wonder. And I don't think we're in a place where we want them wondering. Be visible, be present, and please connect. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Mrs. Karen Winrich, followed by Mrs. Mary Jo Renwick.
Winrich.
Mary Jo Warnoff.
Good afternoon. Karen Weinrich, 3892 Sunset Cove Drive in Port Orange. I am a teacher at Spruce Creek Elementary School, and Elizabeth asked us as stewards, if we could change just one thing now to make your lives better, what would it be? Well, I have two things, both of which could be changed by after spring break. Number one, please let us control our air again. My classroom sits at 74.8. I know it's not that in here. We come in from recess. The kids are sweaty. It takes 15 minutes for it to kick on, and the minute it hits 76, it kicks off again. It would make my life so much better if when it's hot in my room, I could press a button and put it down 1 degree. We haven't had that ability in years, but that would go so far to increase morale among teachers. The second thing that would make my life and many others much better is to ensure that we all have a working copier within our building. I cannot tell you how much time I have wasted figuring out what copies I need, sending them to the printer, walking to another classroom, unlocking that classroom, going in, having to walk through somebody's classroom because we're in the pods, making my copies, uh-oh, it didn't send right, or oh no, I'm out of paper, going back to my room, going back and forth. I have spent so much time just trying to get copies. I have a brother in my pod, and the copies are embarrassing. So I only use it for things just for me, but I would never make copies to send home with my kids because I wouldn't want the parents to see that. So if we could all get copiers that we could get to where if I have a student who, well, for example, when we have teachers who the subs do not show up, which happened to us last week, I had 4 extra students for the day, which is fine. I didn't have 4 extra papers. I can't make my copies. I went made them on the brother. They were terrible. They could barely read them, but at least it was something. So if we could just get copiers that we did not have to leave our area, that would improve my life tremendously for the rest of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Mary Jo Warnoff.
So I'm Mary Jo Warnoff. I live at 30 Fallen Oak Lane in Palm Coast, but I work at Creekside Middle School. And I brought props. I just want you to know that Monday morning, we had a teacher walk into her classroom and had this type of dirt on a table and right by the door. And her room was not even swept. And that's where they prepare food. This morning, we had a teacher that had to wipe down all of her tables, and they all are black. So who knows what they do, because they're not cleaning the floors, and they're not cleaning the tables. There's not enough help. I told the custodian in my building on Monday that, or no, I'm sorry, it was, too, well, maybe it was last week, but I asked him to please concentrate on a section of the floor that was very sticky because I had been in there trying to do some book inventory. And he goes, well, that room, that's the only room that we had to totally mop. We only spot mop. We only spot sweep. I said, it's sticky. So when I came in the very next day, I went and checked that area. That area was just really nice and clean, but the rest of the floor is filthy. They're not doing a good job. They're not adequately supplied. And there's not enough people. And we're all suffering for it. You know, we're worried about this coronavirus. Oh, big deal. We're worried about the filth in our schools that we have to walk through and wade through, that our children have to put papers on and write. And it's not fair. You know, I may have to wipe my own desk, but that's neither here nor there, because I would rather not let them mess with my papers. But it's not fair. We have this kind of filth after there's been an issue from you that they need to wipe surfaces. I don't know if they do doorknobs. I ain't touching them. But just so you know, it's not working yet. Oh, and on a side note, I asked for 2 computer teachers for new teachers. I was told, there are 5 extra ones on your campus, but they couldn't tell me the numbers so I could go and find them. I've got 2 brand new teachers that's working on a kid's computer and a very, very old Dell. It's not fair. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving back up to item 4.01, approval of resolution 2020-14, Superintendent Fritz.
I'd like to ask Ms. Kelly Amy, Manager for Strategic Partnerships, and Mr. Larry Bior, Specialist for Athletics, and Mr. Eric Nason, Advent Health Sports Medicine Outreach Coordinator, to come forward.
That's sad, but that desk is still wet.
Good evening, Chairwoman Wright, board members, and Superintendent Fritz. My name is Kelly Amy, Manager Strategic Partnerships, and I'm here with you this evening to bring forward a resolution to designate March as National Athletic Training Month. Our partner at Advent Health, Eric Nason, along with district videographer Chad Goodman, have collaborated to create videos, and we have one celebrating Athletic Training Month and the critical work that our athletic trainers do in our schools, and we'd like to share that video with you now.
Hi, my name is Eric Nason, Sports Medicine Outreach Coordinator for Advent Health. March is National Athletic Training Month, 1 month out of the year that we recognize the hard work, passion, and dedication that athletic trainers provide as they care for the physically active. This year's Athletic Training Month slogan is ATs Impact Healthcare Through Action. So let me ask, do you really know who an athletic trainer is? According to the National Athletic Trainers Association, an athletic trainer is a healthcare professional who renders medical service and treatment under the direction of a physician, providing injury and illness prevention, wellness promotion and education, emergent care, examination and clinical diagnosis, therapeutic intervention, and rehabilitation. Athletic trainers are found not only in high school sports, but also in professional sports, college and universities, corporate industrial settings, performing arts, law enforcement, and the military. Here in Florida, athletic trainers are board certified through the NATA BOC and licensed as healthcare professionals through the Florida Department of Health. Now, let me give you some statistics provided by the NATA to prove the need for athletic trainers in high school sports. Did you know that 90% of student athletes report some sort of sports-related injury? 62% of organized sports-related injuries actually occur during practice. 54% of student athletes report they have played while injured, and 12% report they have sustained concussions. If this doesn't emphasize the need for full-time athletic trainers in every high school sport, I don't know what does. Athletic trainers are highly skilled healthcare professionals who provide a wealth of knowledge to mitigate risk through the execution of policies and procedures set forth to create a safe and healthy environment for all athletes. It is exciting to know that every high school in Volusia County has access to an athletic trainer. Through our partnership with Volusia County Schools, Advent Health is proud to support these athletic trainers, helping them reach and maintain best practices in sports medicine and athletic training. So, do you know who your child's athletic trainer is? Your Volusia County High School athletic trainer is the one who is looking out for your child's safety and well-being while they are competing in sports. So do me a favor, during National Athletic Training Month, take time to recognize and thank your athletic trainer for all they do. They are the true unsung heroes of sports. For more information on athletic trainers and the Advent Health Volusia County School Partnership, please click on the link below to be directed to the Volusia County School webpage.
And with me today, the star of our video, is Mr. Eric Nason.
I couldn't say better myself. Chairman Wright, board members, Superintendent Fritz, it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be able to partner with you in this great venture that we have with Advent Health and Volusia County Schools. As an athletic trainer myself, as the sports medicine outreach coordinator of Advent Health, and as the sitting president of the Athletic Trainers Association of Florida, it's an honor to be part of a school district who puts the health and safety of their athletes first. And so it is a privilege to be able to serve along the athletic trainers of Volusia County, to be able to help implement and maintain best practice standards to create a safe and healthy environment for our athletes. And so it's an honor in March to be able to recognize all the athletic trainers here in Volusia County for, as the video said, unsung hero work. There's not a lot of you that probably understand the full capacity of their knowledge and their requirement to maintain a safe and healthy environment for these athletes, but they work extremely hard. And I'm just honored that March is a time that we can recognize them and we can say thank you for the hard work that you're doing. We're behind you as a community associate, as a partnership, and I appreciate what Volusia County Schools is doing to set an example across our state.
Thank you.
Larry Beal, Director of Athletics, Volusia County Schools. I'd just like to take 1 second before I go through our athletic trainers and just acknowledge Sarah Lee Morrissey and the work that she's done for the athletic directors at the schools and the partnerships with the municipalities and gaining access to fields, rentals, and properties around as we acknowledge her retirement. I'd also like to say thank you to the three area superintendents as they transition to assistant superintendents for how they help me direct and lead our principals and assistant principals and our athletic directors in our schools, because it helps a lot when they've all been involved in that. They know the language that we're talking, they know what the acronyms mean, and they support and help and give me ideas and suggestions. Now, with that being said, I'd like to go through and let you know who our athletic trainers are. A couple of them were in attendance. Unfortunately, as we ran a little longer, they had to leave because they have to go back and cover events. Atlantic High School, Regina Wright, head athletic trainer. Brian Eschen, assistant principal on campus, also a certified athletic trainer. DeLand High, Alexis LaChance, head athletic trainer. Deltona High, we do not have one currently. Brandy Meadows is acting as a first aid responder. She is a health science teacher on campus. Mainland High School, Kaylee, head athletic trainer. Ashley Simpson, assistant athletic trainer on campus. New Smyrna Beach High, Ty Watkins, head athletic trainer. Pine Ridge High School, we also are missing an athletic trainer there currently. John New is acting as a first aid responder. He's our athletic director on campus and a former Army medic. Seabreeze High, Kelly Lemon, head athletic trainer. Allison McKnight, assistant athletic trainer on campus. Spruce Creek High, Kyle Rentschler, head athletic trainer. Sydney Napier, assistant athletic trainer off campus. Taylor High, Emily Merriman, head athletic trainer. Mark Labita, assistant athletic trainer and athletic director on campus. University High, Perry Revlett, head athletic trainer. Megan McKenna, assistant athletic trainer on campus. And those are our 10 schools.
Oh, thank you. Superintendent Fritz.
Superintendent recommends the approval of Resolution 2020-14, recognizing the month of March as National Athletic Training Month.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Those that oppose, ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for your partnership.
Nice to see you again.
Moving down to item 6.01, Superintendent Fritz, did anyone request anything to remove from the consent agenda?
No, ma'am.
Colleagues, did you want anything removed from the consent agenda?
So we have the field trip for New York City, which is going to be a flight.
Superintendent, would you like to address that?
It's 8.01.
I'm sorry, which one?
8.01. It's a flight to, where are they going? They are going to New York City and Washington, D.C.
And actually, that timeline is for January next year, 2021. Okay. So at this point, it would still be on the books to be approved.
Anything else, colleagues? Okay.
2021, wow. I didn't catch that. 2021, they're ahead.
That's all right. They're ahead of the curve.
Yeah. Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda, item 6.02.
Move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Moving down to item 17.01, superintendent's announcements and comments.
Yes, we have a few today. Friday, March 13th of 2020 will be a teacher duty day, student holiday, as we embark on our spring break. The spring holidays will be beginning Monday, March 16th, going through Friday, March 20th. There will be select 12-month employees. They'll be working 10-hour days for that time of March 16th through the 19th. We have a mandatory closed day on Friday, March 20th, and district offices will also be closed during that day to the public. Classes will resume on Monday, March 23rd. Our next regular school board meeting is Tuesday, March 24th at 5:30 here in this boardroom. And at this time, I'd like to ask Mr. Greg Aiken, Chief Operating Officer, Ms. Sarah Lee Morrissey, Director for Planning and Business, I'd like to come forward with a couple brief updates for the board.
All right, Madam Chair, Board Members, Dr. Fritz, thank you for this opportunity to update you on some projects that we currently have in the works now and some that are in the summer. I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Morrissey and let her kind of breeze through that, and if you have any questions, we're here to answer those.
Okay. Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the board, Dr. Fritz, we're in our busy season, and you're going to be seeing a lot of items on the agenda. You've just finished reviewing a lot of phase three plans. That gets us ready for the bidding season. And so now you're going to start seeing bid tabulations and GMPs, guaranteed maximum prices. So Dr. Fritz thought it would be a good idea to update you on our construction projects. I'd like to first tell you that we did receive the GMP for Deltona Middle. It will be on your agenda next meeting, March 24th. I am pleased we had 40 subcontractors show up. That's a great turnout. The GMP is less than what was budgeted. The GMP is also less than the cost estimates we got from the construction manager during our schematic phase, as well as during the final CD phase. So back in, we get schematics. We got those in January of 2019. And in October of 2019, which is right before we start going through permitting and then getting ready for bid, the estimate in October 2019 was over $55 million. I'm very pleased we're just over $51 million on the GMP. So that'll be on your agenda on the 24th. And groundbreaking is scheduled for May 29th, last day of school, 10 a.m. Chisholm Elementary is continuing to move forward. We should see completion of all construction this summer, the second building, the parking lot, PE pavilion, and playground. Furniture for that last building scheduled to arrive July 6th. And we are reviewing some additional security improvements that the security office has asked us, Mr. Aiken. So it won't affect occupancy of the buildings. But George Marks, that's the one that has a lot going on. This is probably one of the most hectic times, and certainly for the next 30 days, kind of what I would say our make or break. We've got just about every single trade out on the site. They're working on the interiors. Drywall's going up. Mechanical's there. Electrical is there. Windows being installed. Mm-hmm. Plumbing. They're all out there. So they're trying not to stumble all over each other. But assuming everything continues as it has been, we will be good for occupancy of the new building in August. Now, we are getting ready to vacate the cafeteria. We will be serving meals when we come back from spring break in the media center. And that's so that we can demolish the old cafeteria and get ready for all the paving that needs to happen this summer. And only when we know that the new building will be occupied will we begin the removal of the portables. Once the removal of the portables happens, then we can build the PE pavilion and install the playground. That would also mean we can now go back into the media center and renovate it for music and art. So moving forward. And Westside Elementary, going very well. New cafeteria and kitchen will be completed this summer. Already started renovations of the old administration space. And once the cafeteria is completed, they'll begin the renovations of the old cafeteria for special area spaces. That project should be entirely completed by the end of the calendar year. You mentioned earlier Ortona and Osceola, and I appreciate your presence, Mr. Persis, at all of our meetings. We've been meeting with the various stakeholders, and we are planning to come forward at your workshop April 14th to present some concept plans and information for you, hopefully, so that we can continue to move forward with that. We are in the process of advertising for the construction manager for that project. We're also in the process of advertising for the construction manager on the New Smyrna Beach Middle campus-wide renovations. Just a couple last things. I want you to know that from fiscal year 17, which is when I consider we started actually expending monies from our new half cent, to now, we have saved almost $1.4 million from owner direct purchases. That $1.4 million is the sales tax that would normally be paid if the contractor purchased the materials that, in fact, we are purchasing directly. And that money goes back into the capital fund balance. We've got 46 projects coming out of the ground for this summer, over $22 million. That's in excess of everything I just described to you. It is an extremely tight construction market. You are going to see some bid tabulations coming forward where we had no bidders. You are going to see some bid tabulations where there was only one bidder and some outrageous prices that we will be recommending rejecting the bid and reconsidering. We will evaluate every single one of those projects based on how badly do we need to do it this summer over what is the cost associated with it. I attribute what's going on to the labor market. There is just not enough supply of construction labor. And I honestly don't think it's unique to the construction industry. I think it's going beyond that. But there's just more projects. And summer for school districts is everybody's putting stuff out there. I am a little concerned about the virus and what impact that's going to have on construction. I've already said something to the guys that if schools are closed when we return and we have to look at something different, we're going to need to be prepared to look at our summer projects because summer projects are based on being able to get into the schools when kids aren't there. The other thing that I'm concerned about is supplies. So far, the prices that we're seeing, I'm attributing to labor. But I think as we start to see shipping being delayed and materials not come through the chain, it could impact prices in beyond construction projects, but in our area, construction. So there's a lot happening.
Thank you. Colleagues, any questions? Go ahead, Mr. Persis.
Go ahead. I know that Spruce Creek High School additional building is coming up soon. Is that still?
Well, that's in the outer year of your work program. That I think that was either the fourth or fifth year of your capital work program.
So that's like 22?
23 for design and 24 for construction.
Yep.
So we have a big project this summer at Spruce Creek High, and that's the gym. And that gym project cannot be completed in just the summer. We've been working with the school. They're going to allow us to get in there May 16th when they've completed what they need to do for testing. And then we're probably going to extend past Labor Day on that. But we're working with administration on it.
Okay. Then afterwards, will that auditorium be looked at? Is it scheduled?
So we are in the process of working on next year's capital budget. We began that process in February, last month. So we'll see how things can move forward, and Mr. Grube will do a capital workshop with you with Ms. Mueller.
Thank you.
Mr. Persis?
Yeah, Greg, any news from your side of things, fencing, cameras, security, anything, projects going on?
Yeah, we're continuing moving forward with the Hessian sales tax and our grant funding from the state to put in fencing, finish up a lot of our storefronts on our campuses as we move through, and then we're coming back with our buzzers as well. So far, so good. Like Sarah Lee mentioned earlier, you know, as things evolve, you know, supplies might be a little hard to get, but we're still moving forward. We're hoping to get everything completed fairly quick. Fencing should be done real soon. I've got a couple schools, little pieces I need to go put in. Campbell, I got a little side in the back we need to fix. But other than that, single point access is done. Our storefronts are getting close to being done. We're probably a little over halfway. So we're continuing pushing that forward, and then the buzzers are coming shortly thereafter.
I was at Tomoka the other day, I said for the breakfast thing, and I noticed that there was a doorbell. Is that, that's the only school I saw a doorbell. Is that something new or something old? Or
so doorbells are used for extended day. So sometimes if the extended day's up there, they'll have a doorbell there so they can come out and let the parent in or buzz the parent in so they can actually come in and retrieve their child.
Yeah, and is that, and I thought when I walked into that school, it's probably because because the reception desk is so far away from where you enter that they wouldn't know.
They wouldn't
know if someone came in. So there's a big camera
there is
right on you when you ring that doorbell, which alerts the person.
That's
and
correct.
She buzzed the door to let me in. Yes, I thought it was great.
Yeah, that's and that school is kind of unique. And then as you knew, the extended day goes back in the cafeteria. The same thing set up there, so that camera does pick up, so they can see it's a parent and allow them in to be buzzed in. Yep. Perfect, yes. We're trying to do that everywhere.
Mr. Colon?
So I have a question on an unrelated topic. So if we go around, can you go ahead?
Yeah, to piggyback on Mr. Persis, what happens if you put in a camera in a front office and after the glass walls are up, you can't see what the camera's supposed to see?
Yeah, we'll move that camera. So. Yeah, we'll be moving that camera if it needs to be moved, and so that would just be a work order coming in, and we'll have Mr. Gardner go back out and move that camera so we can view what we need to view.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
How many schools still do not have the storefront?
You know, I don't have that number on top of my head. I'd be more than happy to send that to you tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
And along those lines, how about the fencing?
Yeah, fencing's just about done. Like I said, Campbell Middle School, we have callbacks now. So the major projects are all done. So I've got, for example, New Smyrna Beach High School, the front fencing. We're looking at that right now. We've already got the quote. We're waiting on materials. Materials are taking anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks to come in. So a lot of the callbacks we're doing right now on our fencing projects, cut fencing, those type of things we're trying to resolve currently right now.
Okay.
With that.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Colon.
So, Greg, do we have soap in our bathrooms?
We do. So,
can I have an update on what we're doing for the coronavirus for the benefit of the public as well as the board to know what
sure.
we should expect during spring break and what measures we're taking as a district to protect our students and our staff?
Yes, sir. So what we've done, we have a district-wide pandemic flu plan. Actually, it's a pandemic plan. It handles any pandemic that's out there, not just the flu, but in this case, coronavirus. So we've been working very well with the County Emergency Operations Center and the Florida Department of Health. A lot of the guidance has been coming from CDC on proper handling of, washing your hands and those type of things and isolating other countries to where you shouldn't go to if it's a level 2 or 3 and quarantine, self-quarantine, all of that. Locally, what we've done, we've worked very well with Mr. Clark to make sure that their day porters and their night staff actually stock everything up. We've also asked all of our staff on our schools to monitor the restrooms throughout the day. If there's any stock that's missing, to actually notify the day porter, he'll be more than happy to replenish that. I received four emails today about the restrooms not being stocked. I'm just giving you one example. One of the middle schools, they searched all of the campuses and found one restroom that the soap dispenser wasn't filled, but it was vandalized. So we ended up fixing that and getting it done. So that's what we're currently doing right now. ABM does have foggers, so do we. We've already fogged one school last night. We're going to fog another one tonight. We've got some flu issues going on, so we're spraying those classrooms down as need be. And ABM's actually cleaning all the touch points and hard services. Currently right now we're level 3. We have 6 levels in our plan, so we're right at the middle right now, still monitoring and working through the health department and CDC as we continue through this process.
So is it fair to say that during spring break there will be quite a bit of effort to ensure that we do a deep down cleaning so that when the children return it'll be clean?
Yes, sir. So I just received during the board meeting the plan from ABM for each one of the campuses. I have not had a chance to review that as of yet, but I will be sharing that with the board members and the superintendent fairly soon. And if there's anything I need to add, I will be adding that with Mr. Clark. I have a meeting with him this Thursday as well and his staff, so we'll be going over a lot of these things as well.
Great, thank you.
Mr. Clark, one of the things that Greg and I have talked about is because we have to have more people on campus that can actually fill a soap dispenser. Kids do things sometimes with the soap dispensers, but what we're working about is having our campus monitors know the location of the soap so that they can walk in and actually fill those soap dispensers on a regular basis. So one of the things Greg's going to work with ABM on is to make sure that there's soap on every campus and a supply, mm-hmm. and that if, as it's needed, we don't have to wait till the next day to get it. Mm-hmm. So that someone's monitoring those restrooms, and that whether it's a campus monitor or a guardian, somebody's going in and refilling those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and ABM has actually got a month and a half worth of supply back in their warehouse as well, so there's no reason for us to not have that in any one of our campuses currently now. So we're looking at that restock as well on property so we can do exactly what Dr. Fritz mentioned.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Okay. Can I copy off of Mr. Colon? I think our intentions are fabulous. Mm-hmm. ABM's intentions are fabulous. What is actually happening? I mean, we saw the cloths today, and I still hear from a lot of my schools that it's just not being cleaned. And I think a lot of it doesn't have to do with the ability of the personnel. It has to do with the number of personnel. So are they fully staffed? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some people who show up, and they're all alone, and they're supposed to have a partner with them at night. And that other partner's not there. So it falls all to one person. And the personnel are not given extra time or overtime. So you're telling us everybody's going to be working during spring break, cleaning our schools. Is there a way, is there a plan in place to inspect Monday morning?
We'll be inspecting just like we do every quarter. So our inspectors will be out there. They're 255 days people, so we'll have staff working next week as well that they will be monitoring the cleaning process of ABM. As far as fully staffed, for national standards for cleaning per custodian is 2,200 square feet. Normally what they do currently now, and that's the standard, I think, what ABM does have. They do have subs. Just like transportation last week on Friday, we had 49 bus drivers out. And so we had to double stack and everything we had to do to try to get the children home. We were pretty late in the afternoon on Friday afternoon. I'm sure they're going to have those same things with absenteeism and those type of issues they have to deal with. I can't answer for them, but that's a great question. We can ask them on Thursday and get that direct answer right from their senior staff. Be able to help you. And I can more than happy to bring that back to the board or share it with them on Thursday after or Friday morning. So, yes, ma'am.
So, it was telling tonight when the hand wipes were brought mm-hmm. up here and we saw how dirty the tables and things are. And we're getting pictures of this every day mm-hmm. that we forward on to you. And I'm out there walking these campuses, and I want to thank you and your team for allowing me to see how you score them when we walked Stark Elementary mm-hmm. just recently. But I will tell you, and I kind of shared it already, what's disheartening to me is I walk on a high school campus, and it's not lunchtime yet. No lunch has been served, but there are trays of lunch food from at least the day before. I'm hoping they're not older than that, that are just thrown around. You know, they're on the staircases, and I saw one or two custodians there, and They were hanging out, talking, and all of that. But that food had been in those locations, and it's in a path where people are walking. And I don't know how anybody was on campus the day before and supposedly cleaned it, or even that morning. And, you know, there's still food on that campus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got to do something differently, because I know that, you know, had your gentleman been there that morning to do an evaluation, he may not have even evaluated that staircase.
May not have seen it, you're correct.
Yeah, he mm-hmm. may not have seen it. But, you know, so my question is, like at University High School, mm-hmm. so are the custodians using the elevators and therefore never walking up and down the stairs, so therefore all the filth that's on the stairs is just being ignored?
I'll ask that question. I don't know that answer, but I can tell you one thing for sure. Every complaint that I get, I do work with Mr. Clark, and he addresses it that day. So I know the Creekside one, the young lady that was up here telling you all of that, I made notes already. Dr. Fritz actually sent me an email real quick as well, and I've already relayed that to Mr. Clark, and they're going to be addressing that this evening. University High School, what we put there is, I think it was additional 40 trash cans with liners to allow those students to pick up their own trash and throw it away and not rely on our custodian staff as being you know, to go around and pick up all that trash. So I think it's a behavioral change on some on one point, but on the same point, you know, if somebody walks by some trash, they need to pick it up as well. That was uncalled for. I agree 100%. They should have been caught that afternoon during lunch, after lunch, to pick that up and empty that trash. But I'll ask that question if they use the elevator and not using the stairwell. But I can tell you we have custodial closets on all floors, so I don't think they would be using the elevator, but I don't know that for a fact.
And my question is not only just for university, but also Delaney High. Because those are the two that I'm getting the most pictures from of there being food and trash left in the stairways. You know, and, you know, someone's taken a picture of it 4 days in a row and said, here it still is. So I'm not sure how we're missing.
Yeah, one of the major things that we do here that's unique for Volusia County is we have one single lunch period for all students on that campus. And our cafeterias are not designed to handle all of those students. So, therefore, we're allowing students to eat everywhere on campus. And it makes it more difficult for anybody to clean up after, you know, students, that volume of students are eating on our properties. I can tell you my wife makes me eat at the table, and then I pick up my own stuff and put it away. So, I mean, some of those things we're going to have to start looking at as well to make sure we can kind of help on our end as well. But they definitely need to pick it up as well, and I think they have. Anything you send me, we'll take care of it immediately.
I'm sorry.
I have one more comment, Madam Chair, if I may share.
Oh, go ahead.
I looked at the ABM newsletter, and in it, Dr. Carr at DeLand High School ordered 50 trash cans that were shrink-wrapped.
Yes.
And it's Bulldog, DeLand Bulldog, keep your campus clean. It was an excellent idea, and I asked her at the FFEA conference on Saturday morning where she got them. She said a former student of hers in Daytona has his own digital company.
Oh, very nice.
He ordered the trash cans, and then he designed the shrink wrap and did it for and delivered it.
Outstanding. It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yes.
They are.
What a nice project for a class purchase. I mean, it would be a super thing for a senior class to gift the school. Every senior class gifts the high school. That would be wonderful if we could maybe have some kind of school-wide, maybe that would be the first Dr. Berrio's first initiative was to get keep your campus clean trash cans for all
perfect.
High schools.
Yep.
What do you think?
I'll get the information from Dr. Carr. How's that? And I'll share it with the other principals. It was beautiful. It was very nice. I like the design. I think Dr. Carr does an outstanding job trying to help us with not only the vandalism inside the restrooms, but also trying to keep up the trash as well.
And it's a small business owner.
It is great.
And a Mainland grad who owns the company.
Outstanding. Thank you for your time this evening.
Mr. Akins.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
Is it possible that maybe Superintendent will look at having a workshop? And the reason being, because as we talk about ABM, I want to make sure we don't have any policies or procedures in place that is causing some of the issues that they face, too, as far as hiring and other things. So I want to make sure that we are not part of the problem as well.
Yes, ma'am. So we have a workshop April 14th that we will be presenting all the ABM information, and I'll make sure I add that to my list.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am, to go over. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else for you, Superintendent?
No, ma'am. I'm good.
Moving on to items 20.01, phase two of ERP.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask Mr. Clint Griffin to come forward. He actually has a guest. We're going to ask him to come forward, too, and hang out at the table with us at the diocese. But, you know, you appointed me on the 12th, and then you had a workshop on the 19th, and scared the daylights out of me, I got to be honest with you, of where we went. And one of our first conversations as a board was that we've got to get this right. And so you gave me the latitude to go find Mr. Griffin, which the interview was about the plan, about the process of what he would do to get us back on track. And I think he has a very, very doable, viable plan. It's not that we don't have work to do, and we will. We were planning to meet with the entire staff on Thursday to kind of run through it with them as well. But today what he'd like to do is kind of go through his plan for you about how we go live in January 2021. Clint?
Thank you.
Chairwoman Wright, board members, Superintendent Frentz, thank you for this opportunity. I believe this is a subject that we want to, but we don't want to talk about. A lot of pain over the last several years, I think, and ongoing for staff, teachers, schools, administrators. The first thing I want to say about this project, and I've spoke a little bit with all of you at one point or another, these projects are once in a decade, once in a couple of decade type projects. So the pain, the time that it takes to do projects are several years, like we're feeling. This is pretty normal for this scope of a project. We're not an outlier. They're expensive. We're not an outlier. And I think I really want to continue saying that because every project that I've seen or been a part of in higher ed, in K-12, in banking, throughout my 20 years in technology, these are big multi-year projects. ERP systems, student systems, business systems. You probably see him nodding his head yes. These are big decisions to go through these, and then when they go through them, there's resistance on the end user side and the functional lead side because those folks have usually been there 20, 30 years on this one system. They don't want to change because for all intents and purposes, it works for what we do. It's just not the cutting edge, next level way to do things. So I wanted to kind of start with that before I get started here. So I started looking at this. So I'm 6 weeks in here, but I started looking at this probably about 4 weeks prior to that when I came before you and got approved to come aboard here. Probably a week or so before that, I really started digging into this. And as I went through this, came aboard, I really was trying to figure out a way, just as all of you probably are, as to how to try to continue going down this path at the least expensive way possible. I was given the change order that I think you guys have seen before the holidays, and it was put on hold for me to put eyes on it. And right away, I really didn't like the way it was written because it was just kind of like monthly payments going out. So I worked with Cherry Road, worked with some internal folks here, some staff, and we rewrote that. We can't get totally away from that change order because we're past the contractual date, and we're not done, obviously. So we have to extend the go-live date to 2021. So because of that, it is kind of what it is that we need Cherry Road to help us get to that point. So we rewrote the Cherry Road change order to have milestones and deliverables associated with big chunk payments that the district is going to be obligated to pay them. The total cost didn't change, but how we get to that total cost and to 2021 has changed the way we wrote it. Had a lot of input outside this district with my network of folks that have been in his position, done projects as a project manager, hired project managers like myself, wrote these kind of change orders, wrote RFPs, and had Stacy and legal look it over after we thought we were good. And I think it's a better written document now to move forward with than it was before. I really do. I wish we could get out of it. I really do, because I think the old adage where not on time, not on budget, that's where we're at right now, unfortunately. But again, I think that's not as uncommon as folks probably think. I think these are pretty normal to extend to do it right, right? And I think that's the opportunity I have to come in and finish this thing the right way. So I believe that the document is actually attached to this line item. And the second part of this is I came in, again, trying to do this, finish this the right way with the least financial impact to the district as possible. And if I would have started this project, I would have brought in a program manager, project manager,
that was contributing to write the RFP. Once the RFP got awarded to a vendor or a partner, I would have hired probably 7 to 10 more project managers per functional area to run this project. We can't go back in time, and we can't start from scratch. We are where we are. But it's my recommendation that we need an expert that has done these projects with this technology multiple times in the past. Although it might not be K-12, business systems are business systems. I truly believe that. The chatter of it's never worked in a K-12, this specific technology, that's noise, because everybody's got an HR, everybody's got a finance, everybody's got a budget, everybody's got an insurance. All these departments are the same. Then there's hooks. We have a student system hook. We have students in classrooms is our business model. All the business models for different businesses are all a little bit different and e-customized. So the project is definitely doable, but we were lacking the expertise that has done this project with this technology before and can run the project the way it needs to, that has the expertise as well to dig in and dive and say, this is, you know, from a technical perspective, the right way to do it, the wrong way to do it, maybe we should do this. And I believe I found that person sitting to my right. And I really think that him coming on board is going to get us to the finish line in the 2021 January date for go live. I really do. Again, it's not going to come without a pretty good cost. But these projects, as you well know, are expensive from where we're at, from where the beginning was and where we're at now. I believe we can get there with the right individual running the project. And to my right, I want to introduce Kamal Ibrahim. He's been here today and yesterday. I kind of planned that appropriately. I never want to hire anybody I don't meet. So I've spent a couple of days, got the staff's input. They are totally in love with this gentleman. The morale has went skyrocketed after they've met him and seen his technical ability and his knowledge of our exact system that we're migrating to. That's huge in itself. The heartbeat of this project out there with the focus groups that we've been having, a lot of mention of this project. I believe the technical side, the finance side folks that have had the ability to meet him so far, the positive feedback that I'm getting is something I haven't seen from this project since I've been here. So I'm really excited about that. And I really think it's super important to have a third-party perspective that works for us, that's done these projects before, because, you know, the partner, they're not here every day. They're not sitting with the functional leads. They're sometimes remote. They're not in this business. So although we need them to move forward with the project in Cherry Road, we can't expect, rely, and it's really not fair to even ask them to run this project and drive this project. That's our job as the district, and it will be his job as the project manager for the district to drive this project. And I really think that's been the lacking piece, is we have not been driving this project. We have been following the direction of the partner, and we've unfairly asked him, of that partner, to drive the project for us. That's not really the way this is supposed to go. So I think, you know, nobody's fault. It's just I'm trying to come in and give my my recommendation on right tracking this thing. Again, I've spent hours analyzing this thing. We aren't in as bad a shape as we think we are from the surface, but we do need a plan, timeline, schedule, and goals, milestones to get to that finish line. And again, it does not come at a cheap cost point. So the first three blocks that you see are the change order, which should be the exact same amount as what you were presented with before the holidays. They're broken up into three specifics there. And then the last one is the project management consulting piece. And I think he sees that number and he's wishing he made that number. But the way it works is he works for a company that we pay, and then he works for that company. So I'm asking the board for approval tonight for that total number and to approve the change order with Cherry Road and the project managing consultant to represent us with this project and start to drive this project together with me, and we can get to that finish line of 2021. He's looked at this project over the last two or three days. I asked him, looked him in the eye today. I said, can we do 2021? And he told me we should be able to do it before 2021. So that tells me we can do it at 2021, January. So I asked for the board's permission tonight to approve.
Clint, could you mention the expenditure, if we do not go with a project manager, the one-offs where we would be?
Yes. So up until this point, we've supplemented help with some temporary employees through phase one, and I believe the cost point is somewhere between $350,000 and $450,000. I think we've paid, if you totaled all of those salaries together. And if we don't have a project manager with his technical expertise, that's kind of like a two position in one type of situation, I would really have to come back to the board and recommend some supplemental architect and engineering support to help us with this project. Probably in the same category price range, anywhere from $350,000 to $450,000 to $500,000 to supplement some more temporary employees to get to where we need to for the 2021. I do not think we can get there without bringing some one or the other in. Just because we need that experience with that technology that's done these type of projects at this scope before. And in K-12s, they're just, we haven't, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Colleagues, any questions?
I do want to mention that he has worked for Oracle themselves for 16 years.
So this is very painful, I must admit. So we've got our change order here. So basically, there's really nothing to approve. We've just divvied up how we're going to pay Cherry Roads instead of paying them just monthly for something or nothing, which is what we were doing before. Is that what I gathered?
Well, this is an add-on cost from what we were already been paying because we're past the original go-live date of the contract. So I believe that was... And Deb can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was starting in January where we were already on the new support through Cherry Road. So this is an added cost on. So let's think of it like this. Let's say that we had a three-year contract with them to help support the project. We're into year four, and this would be the payments to them for the year four. And then, obviously, the consulting piece, project manager, wasn't originally part of that.
And the deliverable piece, that's a key difference between now and
yes.
What we were doing. We were simply writing a check every month without any kind of key deliverables being performed. And now the check doesn't get delivered until we're in the green. And that's a huge factor and a huge difference. It's probably something we should have been doing all along, but can't go back. But going forward, that's what it has to be. No check until we're in the green.
And the project manager, will you be, are you local? Will you be on site? What does that look like? Because having worked with project managers sometimes when they're remote, you know, you see them on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and they travel Monday and Friday. What's that going to look like?
Yeah, so for now, he resides in Winnipeg, Canada, but he's going to be here and working on this project 5 days a week. And traveling back on the weekends until further notice. I don't know if that's going to be suspended, but we will probably have to do some remote if that we don't have that choice anymore. But he is looking for a place to rent here. So the 5 day a week, he will be working on this project.
Yes.
That was actually a deal breaker for us. We wanted to be able to have contact. I think that was one of the challenges as we were working with Cherry Road.
They would come intermittently every couple weeks, and they weren't the same people. And so that was the struggle that we were dealing with. So as we went forward, that's something Clinton and I talked about early on, and it was his recommendation that we have the same person that was here 5 days a week with us.
And I take it you have the ability to push on Cherry Road and make them do what – you haven't said a word yet, so I'm kind of – I'm waiting to see the, you know, the 1-2 punch here because there's a lot of work to be done.
First of all, thank you, Mr. Sherman. Thank you, Mr. DePrefet. And thank you, board members. My objective here is to make a successful project like the ones that I did before, not only to push one side and to do the right thing, to do the right thing to the community, to do the right thing for the district. Because I did this several times before, especially that kind of what we call in our business the rescue project, that I didn't start this from the beginning, but I'm here to ship it to the safe harbor. So I guarantee to you that I know what's need to be done, and I will push everyone, not only one party, to do the right thing, everyone in the project team and the organization as well, in order to make it successfully. And I promised the CIO that, yes, it can be done during the time frame that's been allotted to this project with the same budget.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Albert came before us last board meeting and made a comment about teachers having to put in mileage and the rates, and board members have to do the same thing. It's been very difficult for all of our employees from very top, very bottom, to use this program. Personally, I think we owe it to our employees to correct this frustration, because I do know that frustration has been going on for several years. We did not have the right people in place the time before. We were sure that everyone was okay. We appreciate you looking over this contract, making the corrections, saving us money. But we also, you're right, we have to look forward, and we have to correct what's already there. We owe it to our employees to make their lives easier, to raise the morale. As much as the use of a copier is important in a classroom or in a pod or an area, we have to make sure our computer systems are 21st century and that they're workable and people just don't go all the time. So we appreciate your expertise, and I, for one, am very appreciative and sorry you've waited for 2.5 hours to sit in another chair, but we appreciate your coming here as well, and I hope you're enjoying our weather.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was snowing when I was traveling, so.
Well, thank you, and thank you, Mr. Griffin.
We already met and talked about this, and you know that I'm on board because there's been too much funding already put into this project at this point to step away from it. We've got to finish it and make it work for everyone that's using it. So I thank you, sir, for wanting to even step into the middle of a mess. And we're going to champion you, and we're going to believe that we can get this finished. And, you know, Clint, I thank you for putting the deliverable piece in there. There should have never been a contract to start off with that didn't have deliverables. And you are right. You're going to have to push both sides to get them to work together to get this finished. And if you need any support from us, we are here to support you. Because if this doesn't work, we're going to all suffer. So thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for giving me this opportunity as well to be here to help you ship it to the safe harbor. Thank you.
Mr. Persis, anything?
I don't envy you, so, but I'm grateful that that we found you, and I trust Clint, and I think if he says you're the man, then we're gonna have to put our faith and trust in you. All I ask is that I don't know, Dr. Fritz, if we could have a maybe every other month update. Something along that line. I mean, we don't need it every board meeting because things.
No, I agree.
Just something to
yep.
So that you can tell us things are going about the way you thought they were.
Can I, Can I ask for some guidance? I like the way Mr. West is starting to do the HR updates, and we get that little sheet on our desk.
Yeah.
Could we follow that same format? And then if you have questions about it, and if you want a presentation, we can do that too. But at least it'll give you let's go with the green, yellow, red kind of approach for the deliverables and where we're at.
That's fine. It's good for me. I don't know the rest of the board.
I like the scorecard approach. It lets us know where our barriers are, and kind of like what we can do to support you. And sometimes, you may be frustrated because there isn't enough money, but the good news is Ms. Muller has a big pot of gold under her desk, and if we need to, we just got to make this work.
Yeah.
Because it's gone way too long, and I think our staff deserves it, and our students deserve it, so.
The comments that the team is going to hear from me on Thursday, and I want to make this public because I think it's important. We're going to use terminologies with the strategic plan like BPO, business process owner. When you're a business process owner, you own the process. It's not about your title. And so, that's my prerogative to name those folks. Clint is our BPO for the ERP. And what that means is any house that he needs assistance from to get this for, they are absolutely to give it to him at any time. And so that's how the BPO process works. That's how projects get done. And that's how project management happens. And so he's got my full faith that we're going to be able to do this. I think we will certainly not pay a dime out until we're in the green. We'll hold that. I think that should be our standard for the way we do business. And I told Clint the pressure's on because the first paycheck he's going to run is going to be mine. Yeah. And so it's going to be right before we put it out to our employees.
And so will you be working with Cherry Road as well, or is that what's going to be happening?
Yes.
So when that individual from Cherry Road comes here, then you'll be there, but you'll still be the supervisor? Is that how it's going to work?
Yeah, so as Dr. Fritz mentioned, the way I see this project from his directive is this is my project. It's obviously the school board and the school district's project, but I'm owning this project to get it done. And that's a big reason why I'm recommending him is because I have to do this the way I think is the way to do this. And we need that experience to have done something like this before. And I've got a feeling by looking at his resume that this is a smaller environment that he's used to doing before, actually. So, again, he's had 16 years of working for the manufacturer of the software that we are implementing. That's huge to get somebody at his expertise level in here. And the way he's grown into the project manager role, he was technical first and grew into the project manager role. That's super unique. Typical project managers that are even in his field come from the business world and just maneuvered into being a project manager, from like the business side. Most of the technical folks don't make that jump. We've got two people in one where he can get into the weeds of the code and knows. I mean, he was pulling up apps on his phone of Oracle products that we already have, saying here's a subproduct of what we already own we can do. I was like, wow. So he's got the technical, he's got the project management skills and the experience to get it done and to drive the project. So I will be the business process owner. He will report directly to me. He will drive all the players that need to get this done, whether it's functional leads in other departments, whether it's Cherry Road, whether it's our own technical staff. He is going to be the intermediate liaison, pushing and driving, making a schedule, creating timelines, making sure we're meeting those deadlines, and then all of a sudden it just starts to flow. It gets easy. In about 30 days, it will be easy because we'll have it laid out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Any more comments? So, Mr. Griffin, so that we're all on the same page.
Yes, ma'am.
We don't want to hear no excuses come January 2021. None. That has been the problem. And we continue to, $1 million, I don't care how my colleagues, that's a lot of money.
Absolutely.
And so I know we've already went into contract for the $702,000. I think we're only looking at adding the $300,000 because the other is already in place. Am I correct?
I don't think the other one is in place. I think that is up for approval tonight.
Okay. And that's the one we put the benchmarks in.
Okay. It came before the board, but it wasn't approved. Okay. It was told to be on hold.
And so we made the deliverables. Okay. So.
Correct.
All right. Superintendent, your recommendation?
Superintendent recommends the approval of the Cherry Road change order to extend the go-live date of Phase 2 ERP project to January 1st, 2021, and approval of the contract for the ERP project manager.
You've heard the superintendent's recommendation. Is there a motion?
So moved.
A second.
The motion has been properly moved and second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by aye.
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 Those that oppose, ayes have it, and the motion is carried. Thank you.
Welcome and aboard.
What is your name? I'm sorry.
Kamal Ibrahim.
Kamal Ibrahim.
Thank you, Mr. Ibrahim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your stay here.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
When does he start?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
He actually started 2 days ago.
But I will not tell you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Moving to public participation, item 21.01. C.J. Allen.
Good afternoon. School board members, Chairman Wright. I'm C.J. Allen. I live in South Daytona, Florida, 2929 Gaslight Drive. And Superintendent Fritz. First of all, I just want to say thank you, because I'm sitting here and I'm hearing the issues of cleanliness in our schools. I'm a teacher of 25 years with Volusia County Schools, and I moved here from teaching in New York State by choice. So I came here, so I've dedicated many, many years to Volusia County Schools, and I'm proud to be a special ed teacher, to be a language arts teacher, now I'm teaching math, so I wear many, many hats in alternative education. But you've mentioned cleanliness, Ms. Cuthbert, you've mentioned the employee morale, quote, we owe it to our workers. I'm really, really hopeful, even though I'm exactly 15 months from retirement, I'm counting, but I'm still in it. And when I retire, I will still be in it, so you'll still see my face here. But I am very, very hopeful, having our new superintendent, that we can build a bridge between our workers and you all, our administration, and to work in unity. And that's what I put on my card about the unity of Volusia County Schools is very, very important to me, because we can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. I hear from my colleagues that they need support, that they have too many meetings. We do. We have a lot of meetings. I've been teaching, 37 years now, and the last 10 years I've been fortunate to have been granted excellent observations and ratings and everything. So my question and my colleagues sometime is the issue of why would I have to go to all this extra training when I think I understand what goes into an IEP, and I know it's evolving, but I understand the classroom management. Come visit my classroom. I rule with an iron fist, but I also have a mood meter. As you enter, you need to move where your mood is, and that includes my mood. So I'm just calling for listening, communication from all of us, and I'm hopeful that we can have a new day and have leadership from our administration that is true leadership, that it's not somebody coming and checking up on me whether I'm doing the CHAMPS training or whether I'm doing the right lesson at the right time, and that that we can all work together. So that's my message. And I thank you all because I know you work hard and long hours. I also like having the school board meeting a little earlier, too, because I do go to bed about 8:30. Thank you.
Thank you. Board items. Start with you, Ms. Haynes. Any items for our?
I want to wish everyone a wonderful spring break, and I hope that everyone stays healthy and enjoys their time off and gets plenty of rest and fun with family.
Thank you. Mr. Persis?
I do not.
Mr. Colon?
I actually do have something, and it's something that Dr. Fritz and I and Greg spoke about a while back. The last meeting, it wasn't the right time to bring it up. And it relates to the order in which we've looked at our half-cent in our schools. And so my question was, I understand there's a half-cent committee, but ultimately the responsibility lies with the board. So I said, we've heard over and over there were schools that were supposed to be closed, there were schools that weren't in the plan, there were schools that would have been done, but we had other plans. And so my question to Dr. Fritz, to Greg, was, can we go back and revisit our actual state? Where are we right now to see if our project line is still is still right? Because, again, we look at schools like Turie T. I mean, there's no doubt that Turie T would probably be front and center right now. However, in 2014, which was a long time ago, it wasn't front and center. And so, I'd like to know where we are today, where our buildings are, and if we find that we need to reevaluate what our plans were from 2014, then as a board, we can do that. Thoughts? I mean, I don't know.
Well, Madam Chair, to answer you, Mrs. Wright and I were on the board when all this started, and I remember Tomoka Elementary and Mr. Persis's district was on the original five, and we haven't talked about Tomoka in a while. And you've spoken about McGinnis.
And Stark
Elementary. So it would be nice once we pass the Deltona Middle and George Marks and the Ortona Osceola, what's the next step?
But what we can ask from Greg or Sarah Lee, Dr. Fritz, is to bring us the original list that we started in 2003, I believe, with the first half-cent sales, to find out on that list exactly what was not completed. And then from there, let's look at what was not completed from the first half cents, see what we said we were going to complete based on our next committee. Because the one thing I don't want us to do is kind of turn up our nose to our committee members, because they've gone to all of these schools. They came up with the list. And at that time, their directive was a little different. And even though if we're changing, because again, like you said, we were thinking about closing some schools or merging some schools or making them K-8, and we've since abandoned or decided to go in a new direction. So I think our first thing is to look at what was not completed originally. Then let's look at their list, and then we can have a workshop maybe on that.
Got it.
Because I know we have some other things talking about how we bus our children and all of that. So maybe if we look at all of that and look at the numbers, then we can make a better informed decision. That would be my recommendation.
You know, we still have that day in June that we have a half day. I know we put a few items on there that we were going to talk about, dress code, and I think cell phones was one. But it's a half day, and so if you want us to get prepared for that, that's your call. But
okay.
I just know that we have a lot of work sessions. We're going to have some more with strategic planning, but we may have to actually add a couple sessions as we go forward. But that, I think, is a workshop item. I think that's going to be one that you're going to want to have some good conversation with, and it take at least an hour.
And what I was going to say is, it's true. Some of these schools, the plan was to close them. Stark Elementary, the plan was to close Stark Elementary, but we never closed it. And, I think we owe it to our students at McGinnis and Stark and Turriti, because those are three of the oldest elementary mm-hmm. schools in Volusia County, and three that every day encounter a lot of problems, mm-hmm. you know, flooding, all kinds of things are happening at these three schools. And I think we owe it to the students there to take another look. And I do appreciate what the community did, but the community was led to believe.
Right. And I said, based on their directive, that is how they came up with the list that they provided us. Right. So since we have decided to move in a slightly different direction, I just want to look at the two, because I do believe Stark and Turriti was on that list. I can't say for certain. But, you know, I think if they can bring that information back to us or even email us. Go ahead, Mr. Aiken.
Oh, I would... I actually, you may or may not know this, but every Friday we hold what we call a facility review committee, and I test the staff to go look at 10 specific schools. Three schools you just mentioned are on that list, to do a facility review. That's looking at systems, building age, any issues we currently have, a bunch of stuff that we look at. And then what we can do is, once we compile that list back, we'll take it to the oversight committee and say, this is what we looked at on these 10 oldest schools we currently have, and this is what we think we need to start looking at now. Mm-hmm. So I would be more than happy to come in June, do a workshop with you. I can email you what that results are from those 10 schools that we're currently doing right now. We should be done in a couple of weeks. I know spring break's next week, so the week after, probably first part of April, I'll have that analysis done. And it looks at everything. I mean, it's a whole spreadsheet we look at, and look at the everything about that campus. And then come back with a recommendation based on what we look at and what the oversight committee has, and we'll be able to resolve this issue.
I'm going to ask that we go one step above.
Sure.
Our board is very invested in their schools that mm-hmm. they're in. I'm going to ask that we set individual meetings, and you can tag sure. on to mine
yes, sir.
Prior to that June, and we look at what that plan says and what those buildings are and their progress so that we can hear individual concerns so that when we get to that work session, we have a direction and an idea.
Yes, sir. Perfect.
And in that, when you provide that, again, if you can just show us the original, the one
original?
The projects
mm-hmm.
that were not completed
mm-hmm.
with the first half cent,
mm-hmm.
Because that was part of the discussion when we started the second, that they look at some of the items or some of the schools, and I believe some of them were on there. So if you could just double check and provide that as well, that would be perfect.
Yes, ma'am. Obviously, Pearson was on that one. So was George Mark. So I'll make sure I have that list for you here fairly soon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes, ma'am. I can give you that tomorrow.
Yeah, just wanted to say that Tomoko
is
on
the
list.
Okay.
It was it's the only school that hasn't been built of the list that for this 17-16
mm-hmm.
sales tax. Of all the new schools, schools are Deltona Middle's playing, George Marks is playing, Pearson is finished, Chisholm. Tomoko is right there with that mm-hmm. group of five.
And that's why we want to make sure that we look at. I know, and that's why we want to make sure.
I remember
we don't
campaigning
all
my
schools
saying,
"Tomoko
will be finished probably before my term's up." Well, guess what? My term's up, and we haven't even thrown a shovel at
okay.
it. So, I'm all good with reevaluating everything, and if we have more funds coming in, which we do actually, than what we thought. Which gives us an opportunity. We did a $100 million bond, which is providing, you know, funds. So it's not like we don't have the money, but we also need to have the direction from the board
mm-hmm.
and then have the expertise with project managers to really be able to get this work done.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Got it. Hold on.
So
trying to get away, sorry.
Can you send us the list of 10? And my question about the list of 10 that you're currently evaluating, are they the oldest?
Mm-hmm.
Because the ones we're talking about are a lot older than Tomoko even, and I know Tomoka's on the list because we were going to close these others, but they're older than Tomoko because Mr. Colon's going to tell you all his schools are old, which is not true.
Enterprise is built in what, 18?
1800.
Yeah. Okay. He has one old school. as everything else that's been built in the last 3 years. But are the 10 you're currently looking at the oldest? Because I don't want to leave one of these old schools out again because somebody has some other plan that they haven't shared with us yet. You know, there's a plan to close it, and we don't know that there's a plan to close it or whatever. So are they the oldest?
Yeah, we're looking at all of the schools. Reed Battella is one of those, the other schools that you mentioned earlier. So we looked at all of those, the whole list. So we picked the top 10 first based on current issues that we know that are at those campuses. Excuse me. And then we have another list after that as well. So we plan on doing that. We do a fish review every year anyway. So we're looking at the issues on all of these campuses. I'll send that to you as well. I just don't have the results yet. So I can send the 10 schools that we're looking at, those that were on the list prior to the renewal, and the ones that the projects that we failed to complete on the last Hessen sales tax, say that quick. So I can do that for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
And then afterwards, we'll follow your plan.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to wait.
Spring break.
I'd like to ask the superintendent when the reorganization begins. When does...
For operations or for teaching or
well,
teaching
like Mrs. Four is... Ms. Four is
oh,
now...
Oh, you mean when the start dates
school?
Are?
Yeah, when does that start date?
Their start dates will be March 23rd. Right when they come back from spring break, they will start over in their assignments and we'll start transitioning that work because there's a lot of planning that has to happen. And when you take teaching and learning and put administration together in one house, the summer planning, the summer PD, the unit plan analysis we heard today from our workshop with the changing of the standards, reviewing that entire process, that really has to start in the spring. We've already reached out to high-impact teachers and have them coming forward to help us do that. But we can't wait till summer for that. That has to start immediately. With Dr. Berrios, you know, one of our big issues has been access for our students to accelerated opportunities. He has to go through and he has to review the master schedules with our data APs and our principals to make sure that we're maximizing opportunities for our young people. And so there will be a review of all 10 master schedules, not only as we're going forward, but in the middle of the summer when we get there. So it's a little more teeth than what we've been practicing, but they have to start immediately.
Okay, will there be an announcement to schools?
Yes. Yes. In fact, I texted Mark and Carmen and told them that we would put together a communication tomorrow so the principals understand the new reporting structure.
And is there anything you can say at this time publicly about the school district's plan with the coronavirus?
Sure.
Okay. Wait a minute, before you go forward, can we just say that for last?
Sure.
Okay. Absolutely. Anything else any of you wanted to say? Okay, and one of the things, because I do have a packet for you all, because yesterday Dr. Fritz and I were in two meetings, started at 9:30, about the coronavirus, and so I'll make sure all of you receive a copy of this packet. One was from the emergency management group, Dr. Fritz, Mr. Akins, and I attended that, and then we had one for the round table for elected officials, and again, that was one of the hot topics dealing with the coronavirus, but I am going to give all of this packet to Ms. Lieberman and have her just scan it so that you all can have some of this information, and if you want to see the other things that was discussed in our meeting, please feel free. I know Carl did an excellent interview yesterday while you and Jamie were at the Central Florida Coalition about this. But one reason I'm kind of leery about saying a lot, because from the time we met at 9:30 to this very moment, it has changed 50 times. 50 times. So go at it.
Well, I'm going to preface it as of now at 6:40 where we're at. You know, we emphasize the same things that the public health is doing. We refer that as our link on our press release. We're always linking back to the CDC and our health department and looking at those recommendations. Kelly's actually hooking up a video. Silly as it seems, we have to teach our children how to wash their hands properly. And so these two hands will be the model, and we're going to be pushing that out so that our kids can see it. But we have to make sure that we have the soap, as you mentioned, in our schools. And so Greg and I had a conference call with Brandon yesterday, making sure that that's there, following up with our own staff to make sure that we keep that filled. Somebody on that campus can go into those restrooms and make sure that there's soap available.
We've actually ordered, and no surprise that hand sanitizer is on back order. We've ordered 1,000. That's all we're allowed to order at this time, but we're working on getting that out to our schools. That'll be here by the end of March. The other thing that we're doing is we're ordering disinfectant towels. I actually got that idea from Ms. Haynes. That was a wonderful idea that we could give to our classrooms so that, you know, we're not asking our teachers to wipe down, but if they want to wipe down and they would think that there's a need, then obviously they can have some disinfectant. We are working as a teaching and learning team trying to put together, we did a survey to find out how many of our students have access, computer access at home, in case we have to push curriculum out. The numbers are actually very good. We're surprised. We have many, many families that have access and they have internet. So putting that together and figuring out what kind of materials. Carmen is meeting tomorrow with the team to try to figure out what it is we can load up if we have to start pushing things out to our students. Besides that, that's really where we're at. Right now as a district, six districts in Central Florida, based on the recommendation from the commissioner, worked together to ban air travel for our students. And the recommendation was that we would hold that off until the end of June and see where we're at. And so, you know, that means some field trips will be inconvenienced and, you know, land travel at this time, that could change, but land travel at this time is still permissible if schools decide they want to take a bus or they're driving in another way on the land. But right now, air travel has been recommended not to be something that we participate in. So that's really the update. And, you know, as Ms. Wright said, this is something that is changing very, very rapidly. We will stay attuned. We'll stay close to the Florida Association of School Superintendents and the commissioners, and you'll get it as I get it.
Thank you. And they'll keep us updated. Yes, go ahead, Mr. Cologne.
Yeah, I will add to that. I had a teacher reach out to me, and they have a trip planned for a thespian sort of event going on, and that they had the question of, you know, and I think that they're going to battle the parental interests. And so I think it's important that as things evolve that we are clear on our communication because, you know, the teacher, of course, doesn't want to say we're not going if the district's not saying it, but they really don't want to go. You know, I know there's the HOSA conference coming up in Orlando. Again, you know, when you hear the CDC saying limit events with more than 1,000 people, then at some point we're going to have to make a decision, and that will take the onus off of a teacher saying, I just don't feel comfortable going. So that's number one. Number two, I had a mad grandma reach out to me already because the school was going to Washington, and now they're hearing that the vendor is not going to refund the money as well. So I don't know how we can work, you know, in trying to help these situations again, you know, if at all possible, to try to mitigate, you know, the losses at this point, given what's out of our control. So just something to add.
Okay. And in addition to that, as it relates to field trips, because I've looked at a couple emails and we've all been included on there, I guess we probably will have to talk about a Disney World, a Epcot, or we have a field trip going to the zoo, and now with the coronavirus being started from the animals, the parents are concerned. So I do believe in the next probably 12 hours, we're going to have to make some type of decision.
And, you know, we'll make the decision not in isolation. Right now, the superintendents are talking, and we're trying to be united because we're all in Central Florida, and if it impacts one of us, it's going to impact all of us. And so I will update the board as decisions are made. You know, we've always been err on the side of caution, realizing that people have already got plans. But if it looks like the recommendation coming forward is that we eliminate those type of field trips or all field trips, which is a distinct possibility that we just do that. And I'll certainly keep the board abreast of such decisions.
Okay. And the last thing, we had our guest speak about Faith. So I did meet with Faith, and Dr. Marino's presentation was probably right on, and I would like for him to maybe meet with Faith based on some of the information that they shared and that all of us are aware of when it comes to suspension and those numbers of minority children, both black and brown, and how they have been suspended at much higher rates. Our numbers did go down for this year, but not significantly, but we did see a decrease. But I will share this with you, too. I know they have invited all of you to meet, so if you have not had a chance, but Dr. Fritz, I know that your schedule is tight, but if maybe it's Dr. Barino could meet with Faith and just look at some of this data, it would be greatly appreciated. Yep. And that's all I have. Any other concerns, comments? Okay.
I'd like to thank Mr. Manning for his service. He's been with us just a short time, but he's certainly going to be missed, and he's moving on to the county. Mr. Manning, thank you very much, sir.
I was teasing Mr. Manning, Attorney Manning. I said, oh, so you mean to tell me he's taken another one of our employees from here? But when we see him, we'll just have to give him a hard time. But thank you, Mr. Manning, and we wish you well. This meeting is adjourned.